In a world where combat sports changes on a dime, two men cover the happenings of it all.
What's up, everybody?
Professional Wrestling.
We said the wrestling world was going to change. CM Punk is All Elite, and honestly, it couldn't have gone better.
I think it's possible that Goldberg beats Lashley and that Big E beats Goldberg, because I don't see Big E beating Roman.
I thought ROH was a pile of crap. I think corporate ROH is gross. First of all, the Nick Gage entrance is one of the most insane things I've ever seen in my life. The Edge deal is up next year. Do you think he gets here at AEW if he's still healthy? I think that he's a WWE lifer, honestly.
Don't forget that the only reason WWE cleared him to begin with was because AEW was going to, and they were trying to sign him.
Mixed martial arts.
And I think everything leans towards Sanhagen, but I don't know. I think TJ could surprise some people.
I'm choosing Sanhagen, especially with his last two performances. The Aljamain Sterling and Piotr Jan running that back, and the winner of this should definitely get the next title shot.
I thought Connor looked fantastic with the kicks. When he got rocked with punches, he went for the guillotine. That was the stupidest move.
Do you hear Dustin after the fight admitted, though, that there was like a second there where he was like, oh God, he might have me.
Do you think Pena has a chance against Amanda Nunes? The card isn't very good, in my opinion. Even the undercard, I don't think is that great.
When Gon and Lewis could potentially be really boring also.
That's possible. Definitely.
Boxing.
Jake Paul by knockout, probably pretty early. It's pretty telling when Jake Paul was like, let's put up our purses against one another, and Woodley wouldn't do it.
I think Tyron Woodley's going to win this fight. He's going to throw combinations at Jake that Jake hasn't seen yet.
First off, I'm going to say congratulations to Tyron Woodley for making $2 million.
I would like to see Vitor and Jake, because I think Vitor would beat Jake's ass. Left by Lyle, so funny that this is the boxing people talk about most instead of the best boxers fighting. This is what boxing has become. The promoters have not allowed the best fighters to fight the best. They protect their own interests, they protect their fighters, and they never let the best fight the best. And there's multiple champions in the same weight class, and they still won't fight each other to unify the belts. And this is what has allowed YouTubers to come in and take over the sport.
And much, much more.
I have them this weekend. I'm just going to let the board fall to me. Dalvin Cook, Zeke, CMC. Hopefully I can get one of those running backs.
I did my draft tonight, as y'all can see with my Vikings jersey on. You have like your really, really top tier wide receivers, but then there's a pretty big drop off. They didn't speak English, so like the UFC like wasn't getting them title fights as fast as people who did speak English. It absolutely was happening for a time in the sport. The reason why I brought that up though is because of the Stephen A thing, because I think it's a moronic viewpoint to take. Yeah, I mean, we just saw Andre Arlovsky show up on AEW Dynamite. Like,
not only that, we've seen Junior Dos Santos, Andre Arlovsky. We've seen Cejudo on Dynamite. We've seen Vitor Belfort on Dynamite. We've seen Jorge Masvidal and Amanda Nunes. Like,
it just, like, the fact that Tony Khan actually just did that.
Fightful, Steven Jensen.
Yeah, that's the stuff I got going on. Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. Support Fightful and Fightful Select.
Doug from RVD Tito for Life.
Are we having fun yet? Because this thing has just got taken to a completely different level.
Straight from YouTube.com. Live rounds. The Marksmith have arrived.
You're watching Live Rounds with Doug and Steven, and being introduced to you by the real IWGP World Heavyweight Champion, Will Ospreay.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Live Rounds, episode 67. It's been a wild week. Especially when it comes to football, that I don't even really want to talk about. Like, it could have gone any worse.
I don't know. It couldn't have gotten any better over here. Going to talk a little bit about that today.
You were definitely in good shape. I would definitely trade places with you. And you're playing the Eagles this week, so I'm all about the Vikings. Go Vikings. So,
skull.
And then not only that, the crazy mix-up of the UFC card, which was crazy. Like, there was a lot of stuff that went on last week. Found out about the tournament that AEW plans on doing, their potential plans. So, yeah, we got a lot to talk about tonight. So, how are you doing tonight, Steven?
I'm doing good. Skull Vikings had a great start to the season. I'm not here to rub this in. This has nothing to do with the Cowboys. This is just me celebrating my Vikings. They looked really good. Like, this is like – exactly what I was hoping for this whole offseason with the Kevin O'Connell hire and the Quincy Adofa-Mensah hire and the extension of Kirk Cousins and the what I was hoping out of Justin Jefferson. Like, all offseason it was like, man, if they can make him like the Cooper Kupp of what O'Connell was doing with Kupp in L.A., and it looks like that's what they're doing. Like, so I'm very, very optimistic for my Vikings, and I'm very happy that I picked Justin Jefferson and Kirk Cousins in my fantasy football league, because that connection I think is going to be sick. So yes, I really couldn't be happier. And it was against the Packers, to put the big cherry on top of everything. It wasn't like we did this to some cruddy team. Like, this was like, this is the Packers. Like, granted, first play of the game, dude misses that wide open touchdown from Rodgers, which yeah, he's a rookie, right? That has like a lot of hype. So
to go to state.
Yeah. So so that kind of set the tone for the Packers. And I listened to Rodgers on McAfee today. You could tell it, he's pissed. He's trying to play it cool, but he's so pissed. And like, so anyway, yes, it was a great start for the Vikings. And yeah, I know that. I mean, what can you really say about it? I know you don't want to talk about it. It's fine. Like, Prescott was going to be like 6 to 8 weeks. Dude, now I will say this, though. I have not forgot about Cooper Rush carving up the Vikings when we had to play it one time.
Listen, I don't mean to say anything, but Cooper Rush is so bad, dude. And, like, we're in big trouble. Big, big trouble. Now, yes, he carved up the Vikings, but if you remember, Amari Cooper was a huge part of that game. Amari Cooper caught the game-winning touchdown. He also caught that pass that, like, bounced off of him and another guy, and he still caught it. So, like, and what's killing us now is, like, we, you know, CD is just not showing up to be a number one, and we don't even have a number two. We have, like, a number one that's not really a number one, and we've got a bunch of fives. Like, we really need Michael Gallup back. Tampa knew us frontwards and backwards. They knew our offense. So, like, we didn't do anything different, which, I mean, I'm so over Kellen Moore. A lot of this is frustrations that have, like, from previous seasons that are starting to really show now. And I'm just frustrated because I really just wanted to see how we would bounce back. After getting our butts kicked like that, how would we bounce back in the next game? And then to lose Dak, it's just such a huge setback. So, positive side is we could run the ball pretty good. And, you know, Zeke had 10 carries for 52 yards, 5 yards a carry. And if we can just kind of lean on the running game and play really good defense, I think we might be able to get a couple wins out of this thing. And then, you know, they're saying Jerry won't even put Dak on IR, which means that he thinks that Dak could possibly be back before 4 games, which I think is ridiculously optimistic. But they did say that he didn't actually have to have a pin put in place for his thumb. So it's recovery time is way shorter than projected. So I think he'll be 5 weeks. Drew Brees had a similar injury and he was 5 weeks. So I think Dak will be 5 weeks, but it's just, man, like, he's had the calf injury. He's had the ankle injury. He's had the shoulder injury. He now has a thumb injury, and that's just been in the past, like, 2.5 years. So it's just starting to get, like, old. And I went through the hell with Romo where it was, like, literally every season it's a back injury, it's a collarbone, it's something. And I just hate it. Like, the number one thing you need your quarterback to be is available, no matter what. And I don't want to go through this over and over again if this is what it's going to be. So just kind of see what happens. But, you know, Philly fans are excited because they're going to win the division, and that's fine. But, you know, the Lions did put 35 on them.
Yeah.
Man, like, it's not like they're clear cut. Their defense didn't look that great. And, you know, Jalen Hurts can't really throw. So A.J. Brown looks phenomenal, though. Like, he's a great player, but we'll see what happens. It's a long season.
Yeah, I'm glad that I got my hypothetical preseason bet in on the Vikings to win the Super Bowl before the season started, because I saw the odds
on that.
I think it was plus 4,000, I think. So I put down like $70 to win, like, I think it wound up being like, it's somewhere around like 2,500 or something like that. So I've been like $2,500 or something on like a $70 bet or something like that if they won the Super Bowl.
That's fair. I mean, the NFC is wide open.
Well, so. and their odds just changed today to, like, they're like the fourth most likely team to win the Super Bowl now. So, yeah. I mean, so I'm glad I got them in when I did. Also, going to throw this out there real quick, because this needs to be touched on just really quick while I'm on the, while I'm thinking about the bet there. So UFC, oh, sorry, during NFL this past Sunday, okay?
Yeah.
Hypothetical bet, okay? If Justin Jefferson scores a touchdown, happens. James Conner scores a touchdown, happens. Jalen Waddle scores a touchdown, happens.
Yep.
Darren Waller, 2 yards away from the end zone.
Oh.
If he would have scored a touchdown, I made a $25 bet. I would have won $750.
Oh.
2 yards.
Steven, it's okay because it's hypothetical.
Hypothetically, allegedly.
You hypothetically, allegedly lost.
Whoo. I was watching that game like a hawk because I have Waller and Carr on my fantasy team as well. So I was like, Carr looked like garbage, by the way. That was scary. He still put up like a decent number for like my backup quarterback or my second starting quarterback. But like, but anyway, yeah, I was 2 yards away from Waller, but man, that's where it's at. Do you want to do any purchases this week, or I'd like to show everyone what you sent me before we get on to everything.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, yeah. I found the Walmart CM Punk's exclusive ones. I ended up buying two of those. And then I've had the Hangman one, the Walmart exclusive. Have you even looked for those? Because they're starting to really pop up if you haven't found them yet.
I looked at one Walmart and one Target recently, and they didn't have anything new. But I think it looked like they were probably going to like reload because – they used to have a ton of AEW, like a ton, like overflowing amounts of like old AEW, and they've it looks like a lot less now, so I'm hoping they're like clearing space to like put all the new stuff out soon is what I'm
you gotta clearance out those Frankie Kazarians and Dark Order.
Yeah exactly. I'll take them for whatever I can get. I mean, that's actually part of kind of the purchases. I showed you a couple of these things last week, but like I got this Stacy Keebler for cheap from Target, I think. So I mean, that was, you know, pretty cool. Like,
yeah,
I'm putting together a like a WCW shelf right now. So
I did get X-Pac. I don't know if that one was there, but yeah, because he completes my DX army that up for all of them. So
yes,
that'll go into the Attitude Era shelf.
Absolutely, I got this this Adam Cole. Mainly because I didn't do like the pre-order on his AEW figure. So I was like, well, this is pretty much the same thing. So I went ahead and got that because I really hadn't seen it anywhere. I hadn't really been looking, but I hadn't seen it anywhere. So I snagged that too. I think that was a couple bucks off. It wasn't like a good deal, but I got this. I completed my Always Sunny in Philadelphia Funko Pop collection. Finally got the Frank Runnels. So very happy about that. Got all the characters, including the Chase Charlie Kelly. And right now,
I was just to tell Robert, I probably plan on going to Royal Rumble as long as finances and everything are available around that time. I'll definitely go down there.
Yeah. I know you're definitely doing StarCast.
If it's there, and yeah, like I said, it's all about who's coming and all that. Like, you know, the thing is, when you keep going to these things, you run into a lot of people. So I got like 6-7 people I can hit up and be like, hey, are you going to be there? And, you know, figure it out. But
for sure,
it just depends on all what's going on.
I can't remember if I showed the Kirk Cousins autograph on here recently or not, but I got it.
I think you did.
I think I showed that one already. All right. So now we get into the heavy stuff. So me and Doug made a trade.
Well, Bill's going to be so bitter.
Me and Doug made we made a trade like between my brother and him. I haven't had a chance to get to the post office yet, but I'm going to show you what I'm sending you looks like here. So this is you say the guy's name, Hassan Rahman.
Haseem Rahman, yep.
Hassan Rahman, see, but my brother had a signed Rahman glove. So
nice,
the nice, really, I mean, perfect condition glove. And in exchange, Doug sent over, my brother got the Robbie Lawler 8x10, and I'm going to hold on to the
signed BJ Penny by 10. So legend nice. Status right there. Happy about that. I want his Funko Pop too. And then I'm going to also send you this, even though it's kind of bittersweet now, but it's a little Dak Prescott.
Perfect.
Yeah, so I'll throw that in there with a couple other.
Does it come with a toy ambulance or anything? You know? No? Okay.
And then this is the real cool stuff. If you've been paying attention the last few weeks, I sent Doug some action figures. Like, I bought them on eBay and had them mailed to Doug's house because he was going to meet Bill Goldberg and Bret Hart. And it's all complete now. The figures went to Doug. Doug got them signed. Doug has now sent them to me. I have now received them. So I'm proud to show y'all this signed Bret the Hitman Hart WCW action figure. Very, very happy with how this turned out. And also this Bill Goldberg WCW action figure, which I'm very, very, very happy how it turned out. And I've got the signed Kevin Nash behind me right now. Same line. I got a signed Scott Hall off the camera. I've got a collection of those going. So Doug really, really helped me out by sending those. So appreciate that. They came out incredible. Exactly what I was hoping for. Even better. Even bigger signatures. Looks perfect. Like,
yeah.
So very happy.
Like I said, man, it was dope that they had the paint pens available. They made sure that the paint pens were good to go. It wasn't like they just keep signing, and then you get the faded signature if you've been in line for too long or whatever. Yeah. Like, they were on top of their stuff. So worked out very well.
Yeah,
definitely can't wait till the next one.
Dude, me too, man. Like, I'm going to definitely keep doing stuff like this as long as there's people showing up that I'm interested in, which seems like every time that they got a whole bunch of cool people that always show up. So yeah, it's,
well, what's cool about awesome. It, I mean, like I said, he's the guy for WWE. Yeah. I mean, he does it all. So, I mean,
WWE advertises him too. I noticed on like their social media that they put up ads for like Fetterman Sports is going to be like in town and mm-hmm. stuff like that. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's dope. It's just crazy that he's so local. Like, I mean, he's just like an hour away from here, so it's pretty great.
Yep.
Sometimes you just get lucky, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. I saw Mick Foley was around here like the other day. He was like right up the street from me, but he was doing autographs for like, it was like $100 on like on a Dude Love Funko, which actually isn't bad, but like I already have the Funko, and I was like, oh, like I already have the thing that he's sell. You know what I mean? If it was like less expensive, I would consider maybe going up there getting my Funko signed for like less than $100 if he was doing something like that. But yeah. I do want to make Foley's autograph at some point, though. Legend.
So. Yeah, he would be a great ultimate, like, because you could do for Cactus sure. Jack, Foley, Dude Love, do like a 3-pack ultimate. That'd be amazing.
I'm surprised they haven't done something like that. Actually,
I think eventually it'll happen. But yeah, that'll be a cool thing to do. Basically, anybody in the Attitude Era that was a big deal needs an ultimate.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you know this, Steven, but I have to shout this out. Cobra Kai was the last weekend as well, and the show was freaking phenomenal. Dude, really? That show was so good.
That's good to know.
I love that. That's probably like my all-time favorite show. I just think it's nice. So well-written. It's so smart. And I can't believe out of 3 movies that are about 2 hours each, they've come out with 5 like excellent seasons. Hey, it's unbelievable what they've done.
I mean, I can only hope that Mighty Ducks Game Changers somehow replicates that for me. But
did you see the trailer?
Yeah. Yeah, I saw it. I'm not really. Once again, I'm just holding out hope that we can get through this season, and I hope it's decent. And then like Bombay is back by the next season, but I mean, it's all just one giant tease. When like the Bombay and Charlie storyline was like clearly lining up, and like we were gonna get it clearly this season.
So like, I'm trying to explain to you like Cobra Kai, but like, imagine if like Charlie Conway. And like, I don't know, one of the guys from the Hawks had like beef, right?
Or like Gunnar Stahl from Team Iceland.
But they all had beef, right? But then they actually end up like turning out to be friends again, like, or just squashing their beef and becoming friends, and then like fighting the Iceland's coach who's got all a new group of people that he's trying to take out. Like,
I see.
It's one of those where they keep taking the bad guys from each episode or from each movie and then putting them together with Daniel. And like they have their beefs, but then they end up teaming together. And then like there's the big villains that still team up against him. And it's just crazy. It's like 35 years and they still use like all the characters and everybody's still like in good shape. Nobody's like completely like lost themselves. And it's like, doesn't even look recognizable. Like they all look pretty much the same. It's such a good show. And they've done such a good job with like the younger generation that you actually care about the new young characters as well. So that's you care important. About the old characters and you yeah. care about the young characters. And it's so well done, dude. It's just so smart. And what's great, one scene, one of the guys, he's pulling up in his sports car and it's playing Judas. And then he sings Judas heading into his apartment or whatever. So
nice.
Here shout out to Jericho. But I mean, they have Rocky references, Top Gun references. They have heels and faces, some wrestling references. Like, these guys are awesome. They said that their next thing they're going to be doing is a show called Obliterated. And it's basically going to be like those old 90s like comedies where it was just like, you know, drug sex and just like beach parties and all this stuff mixed with like old 90s action movies. And like, they're going to like, they're crazy. They are so good. They're also doing like a Ferris Bueller's Day Off spinoff, but like from a different perspective the next day. Like they're just really smart, intelligent dudes, and I love those guys so much. They've made such a good show.
Now, speaking of something kind of along the same lines, I saw today that Clerks 3 released.
Yeah.
Now, I'm a very big fan of like the early Kevin Smith movies, like Clerks, Mallrats are two of my favorite. Like Mallrats especially is one of my favorite movies ever. Like all those, like Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, Dogma, Chasing Amy, that kind of, I'd say around Jay and Silent Bob Strikes Back is kind of like where after that it started going kind of downhill for me. Clerks 2 was all right, but then I started losing a lot of interest and I really didn't like the reboot they tried to do like 2 years ago or whatever. That was just like, it wasn't like Space Jam 2 levels of like made me sad, but it was like, I was like, we didn't have to do this. Like you just didn't have to make this. But now, so it's like Clerks 3, I feel like it's going to be more the same. Like I'm kind of afraid to see it because I feel like it's going to be as lame as the Vincent Bob reboot, but I'll probably still give it a chance. So yeah, if anyone here sees it, let us know.
Here's my thing. Like, I think Kevin Smith is completely sold out and he went woke. And when he almost died, I kind of feel like the real Kevin Smith died. Like, he just hasn't been the same at all. And like, he's been lying to fan bases. He's lost a ton of credibility. He ruined He-Man. Like,
I didn't know about that.
He talked about how great Star Wars was and how it made him cry. And it's like some of the worst stuff you've ever seen. He's good friends with J.J. Abrams, so he like tried to cover up for him and he like blatantly lied to the fan base on things. So I just don't trust him anymore. And I don't think he's the same guy either. So I'm just kind of, I'm over him. And I have a feeling that Clerks 3 won't be very good. So, but I understand, like I liked Mallrats, I liked Chasing Amy, I liked all that stuff, even Dogma. Like I watched all his stuff, but now I'm just like, I'm off the bandwagon.
Gotcha. Yeah. I mean, I feel the same way. Well, I don't know about the He-Man stuff, but I feel the same way just about like seeing what I've seen recently, I mean, especially that Jay and Silent Bob reboot. It just kind of soured me on.
I mean, like imagine like resurrecting the He-Man franchise and like having commercials of He-Man and like building it up only to like kill He-Man in the first couple episodes and then make the show about She-Ra. Like, that's what he did.
Is She-Ra, who's She-Ra?
She-Ra's a female Masters of the Universe character. Gotcha.
Yeah, they kind of try to do that with the, well, they didn't just kind of, like, they definitely did try to do that with the Jay and Silent Bob reboot. They tried to make it, like, about their daughters. And I don't know if that's going to, like, play into this
Bill
movie.
And Ted 2. Bill and Ted 2.
Oh, they did the same thing also?
The exact same thing.
Yeah. So, yeah, anyway, we can talk about something different, but I'm excited for, I mean, I shouldn't say excited, but I'm interested in this Mighty Ducks
But you know, so I'm glad that Cobra Kai was good though. I know you look forward to that a lot.
Dude, I love that show, and it delivered. It had a lot more F bombs in it. Like, it was almost like an R-rated version. It was very it's much more darker. But like, even like the small little characters that you would think you would never see again, like, they still reference them and bring them in. Like, God damn,
that's awesome.
I watched that show and I'm just like, I'm like, oh my God, I never would have thought about doing that, but that is so smart. Or like I'm watching these booking decisions that they're making and I'm just like, booker of the year, like, bravo. You know what I mean? Nice. And even the people that are in the show, they're just like, I can't believe the stuff that these guys come up with and really like do what they do with our characters. Like, it's crazy how good these guys, and they love the characters more than like they even know them. Like, because they studied all the movies that, you know, like, they watched them hundreds of times in college and all this stuff. And so now it's like they control the universe of it. And it's a lot like Tony Khan in AEW, honestly. Like, finally get to control the world that you like grew up watching, and now you do your fig fed, same kind of thing. So, but they deliver, man. I love that show. And like I said, I think the biggest thing about that show is like, it delivers for all generations. Like, you like the kids in it and you like the adults in it. And so it's like, you're invested in almost all the characters. So
I saw that something else was getting rebooted the other day. Oh man, I wish I could remember what it was. You might know. I mean, so much stuff's getting rebooted that I mean, I even saw that like Quantum Leap is coming back. That wasn't what I was thinking of just now.
With like an Asian guy. I was like, what? Like, okay, I guess.
That guy was like the fake Jim in an episode of The Office. I just remember that.
For some reason. And then there was Magnum PI. It said Tom Selleck. It was the guy from like Crazy Beautiful that was with Kristen Dunst in a movie. And like, he did like SWAT back in the day and like all this stuff. And I'm just like, man, come on. Like, at least be somewhat to the original so it feels somewhat the same. I think that's the biggest thing that people miss out on, is it's not about the casting. It's just like, you want it to feel the same as the original, but different, right? But it still needs to have some similarities. So,
and you know what I think it was? I think Good Burger is like somehow making a return. Like, maybe. Like Kenan and Kel, I think, are doing... I don't know if it's a movie or like a TV show spinoff, but I'm pretty sure that's what it was that I saw.
I don't think Good Burger could be successful today. Like, I just don't. I think it's too silly.
Yeah. I mean, I know what you mean. Like,
because I don't think the fan base of today would like it. So the only people that would really be going to see Good Burger are people our age.
Right.
And I don't know if like we would be willing to actually spend the money to go see Good Burger 2. You know what I mean?
And depending on like what the comedy was actually like in the movie.
Like, and is it like a competition over hot dogs instead of burgers? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
It's different. Yeah. Yes. That's pretty funny to think about. Oh, I also just watched Major League 3 Back to the Minors like yesterday. Yeah. I was just like so bored that it was on YouTube for free. And speaking of Quantum Leap, that was Scott Bakula, which was...
Yep, exactly. And he was in everything bad. Like, he was in everything. Like, you remember Unnecessary Roughness and...
I forgot about that, actually.
Yeah, Sinbad and Kathy Ireland. And he's like a 45-year-old like college quarterback.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Scott Bakula. They brought him on for an episode of the of Always Sunny. It was really funny.
Perfect.
Speaking of, I see Country Mac in the chat. Always appreciate the screen names in here. Nice. Yeah, man. I don't know. That's a good point about Good Burger though. Like, that's I don't know who's actually like, see, what they needed, the best chance they would have, and I think they've tried this, and I don't think it was successful, or maybe it wasn't marketed well enough, but what they need to do is they need to have some sort of, bring back, like, Legends of the Hidden Temple, or Guts, or whatever, but, like, it's, like, for adults to compete in.
Yeah.
Like, you know, people who are fans of the show, then
getting to climb the aggro crag and try to win, like in their 30s, because they wanted to win as kids. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, that would be actually entertaining to watch that play out. Like, a bunch of unathletic, middle-aged people trying to do these sports challenges on, like, bungee cords, jumping around and, like, trying to, you know, shoot balls into hoops while people are shooting Nerf guns at them and stuff. Like, that actually might be pretty entertaining. But as a 30-something-year-old person, I don't want to watch, like, 10-year-olds competing in sports games anymore. But I think it'd be funny to watch someone our age trying to do it. To live, like, childhood glory that they never got to obtain, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there's a market for nostalgia anywhere, yeah. You know what I mean? So sure. I totally agree with you. But in my opinion, the sweet spot to, if you're going to do a movie, like instead of a remake, like you need to do a spinoff. So bring the original cast and then bring in a new cast and make it merge, because a remake is just not going to be nowhere near as good, right? Like right. The Mighty Ducks, right? You have Gordon Bombay, but you have a new cast, you know?
Yeah.
With Creed, you had Rocky, and then you have Creed. With Cobra Kai, you have the originals, and then you have the kids. Star Wars completely blew it. If they would have known what they were doing, then they could have possibly made something good, but they're idiots. So it just depends on what it is. Like, the formula was there. They just did it all wrong. So,
yeah. But right, yeah. We're going to talk AEW.
You're on our tangent. My bad.
Yeah, we appreciate y'all. If you have super chats, send them. We'll make sure to put them on the screen, answer your questions, and read out your statements and all that stuff like we always do. Hit the thumbs up, hit the subscribe. We got plenty to talk about with AEW tonight. Obviously, the Elite were suspended, and we don't know what's up with Punk going forward, and Christopher Daniels was suspended, and Nakazawa, and there's investigations going on and potential lawsuits, and are the Young Bucks potentially calling WWE, trying to gauge out the interest of them jumping ship? So,
Kenny Omega calling WWE, all that. Yeah. So, yeah.
Is Cody cool with all of this? Like, does he want them to jump ship, or does he not? Like, you know what I mean?
That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
So, we got a super chat from Cax to start us off. Thank you, Cax. I appreciate it, man. If the ending video of tonight's NXT is any indication, it looks like they're going back to the black and gold. Thoughts? Skull. There you go.
Got Skull Vikings.
There for you.
Thank you very much, guys.
Justin Jefferson, too. Jesus Christ. Like, hey, anybody that got him on fantasy is doing a dance.
The gritty. Let's go.
But
I saw the end of NXT with Solo Sikoa coming out and wrestling Carmelo Hayes for the North American title. I don't know who won, though. If someone can in the chat can let me know.
Did you see the logo, though, that the way they changed it?
No.
Oh, yeah. So they had like a color logo, and then they took it out and made it black and gold, and then said like NXT. And then Hunter tweeted, "We are NXT."
Ooh.
So they're going back to black and gold.
Ooh. Did I get the belt out for that one? Going back.
Yep. He's probably bringing it back. There you go.
Let's go. Okay.
But I mean,
NXT was great when it used to be great.
What made it great as black and gold, though, was the roster. And yes. It's like, what is out there right now that can make it be great again?
Ninja Mac.
I'm okay with. And if they actually want to go that route, then absolutely. I really mean anyone,
like just the idea of like indie wrestlers that we like going there now, like it was happening before, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
So rather than seeing so many just athletes that are signing, I think we'll see people that like we've been watching in GCW and stuff potentially showing up there and on the indies and stuff like.
But it's like, there's no Kevin Owens, Adam Cole. Like, that was lightning in a bottle because they literally wouldn't touch those guys for, like, 10 years.
Right.
So they let it build, and then they went crazy and signed everybody. It's not going to be that.
Right.
My question is, though, is if, like, are they going to really treat it as a third brand? And if they do, because, you know, even Hunter said it was just our developmental brand. But we all know that.
Well, he said that. He, but before he wasn't Before he was saying that
it was saying all the time, this is a third brand, yeah. And then when they lose, a marathon,
yeah, marathon, not a sprint, and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah, I think Gabe Sapolsky was like, "Oh, we never said that the race was over." Like, dude, shut up! Like, all of a sudden you're over here talking crap.
He said that tonight.
No, he said that like last week when AEW had their drama and all that crap. Like, he's just whatever. But it's just interesting. Like, I think they're definitely going to change the look of it. I think you're going to get takeovers to feel more important, possibly tour again with the WWE pay-per-view and then, you know, at the same venue or whatever. I'm not that invested into the NXT product, but I don't know, like, if there's enough talent that would get people that excited about an NXT takeover. You know, they just had that NXT show recently. I mean, it was okay, but it wasn't like, oh my God, I need to see this. So, you know, I think it's a step in the right direction. I see, like, have we ever seen where a guy literally had his hopes and dreams just crushed and then got the opportunity to redo everything that was crushed out of his dream and bring it all back? That's what I'm saying. Like, everybody was sitting feeling so sorry for Triple H. AEW was signing all of his wrestlers. They changed black and gold to this colorful rainbow. They decide that they're no longer hiring wrestlers anymore, only like athletes from colleges and bodybuilders and models. And they let go of like all these people. And then it's like, okay, now you control it. He's like, all right, Karrion Kross, I want back. I want Braun Strowman back. You know, and so here we go. And he's like, I want NXT to be black and gold. I just don't think we've ever seen it before. It's wild.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's interesting. It keeps things very interesting. I don't know. I mean, there aren't really people out there to the level of what you were talking about, definitely. Like, as far as the indie wrestlers like the Zanes and the Owens and Balors and all those kind of guys that like were around for a long time and built up like these giant fan bases before coming to NXT. But, you know, we'll still get now, obviously it'd be different because now, so a lot of those wrestlers now though, in today's landscape would skip NXT completely. You know what I mean? So like, I think if there was a guy like that out there, or like, you know, Nakamura did it. Like, so like say if like Okada got signed to WWE, like, I don't think he'd be going to NXT at this point. Triple H would have, he understands, like Triple H would have him right on Raw or SmackDown.
So you know you're what I mean? Saying the Young Bucks wouldn't go to NXT?
Right. I do not think the Young Bucks would be going to NXT. Exactly.
I do not either.
Yeah.
I think they would be going straight to the Usos. That's what I think would happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Xavier Hardcore says Steve's brother is coming along. So, yeah, Gable's apparently not doing well, but his brother, Damian Kemp, has been, like, getting increasingly better. I've seen a lot of him just because I cover NXT Level Up for Fightful, so I've actually seen quite a bit of him.
Yeah, I haven't, so I'll take your word for it. Gable, I told you that after WrestleMania. I was like, I just don't see it. Like, I don't see this, like, mega superstar that they keep building him up as. And I kind of have a feeling that it's a lot harder than he thought it was. Like, I think that he thought he was just going to sign a deal and get pushed to the moon and that's it. And then it's like, no, you're really going to have to put in time to learn this and go through the, you know, the selections and see if you get better and see if you're going to get pushed and all this stuff. And I just think that he's not happy with it. I wouldn't be surprised if, like, eventually he pulls out of the deal or they just decide to mutually part ways and then Gable ends up going to the UFC, because it's much more of a natural progression from amateur wrestling to do that than to do WWE, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess time will tell. It is disappointing that, like, he hasn't gotten to some sort of level where they want to use him. And there's like kind of reports that he's like really behind, that it's unfortunate, but it would be, I mean, obviously as a fan of MMA, I would absolutely love to see him attempt mixed martial arts with his Olympic background and everything. That'd be really fun to watch. I always hated that we never got to see it with Kurt Angle. So like,
you know, it'd be cool to see something similar to that.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. We'll see. All I know is that, like, he was on everything. They kept showing him. They kept talking about him. And then, like, he had that mania moment or whatever. And then it was like, we haven't heard about him since.
They, like, drafted him with, like, one of, like, the top, like, 10 picks, right? I think, to Raw, like, a year or so ago.
And we've heard nothing about him. And it's not like he's been on NXT or anything. Like, we, I guess, I don't think that's a positive sign for his future.
Yeah. All right, A-Dub, you want to get into all that?
I mean, so now that we're a week out and, like, we know a little bit more of kind of what happens and what happened, I guess, so from what I've been reading, I don't know why Kenny Omega is suspended. All I read is that he tried to save CM Punk's dog. So, like,
they got bit. Like, all right, bye Ace Steel, not the dog. We got bit by Ace Steel.
I can understand the Bucks, whatever, but even then, it kind of sounds like to me like the Bucks went and got, like, the legal team and then went in there and knocked on his door. And it's like, imagine you getting in a fight in front of the legal team. Like, that makes no sense whatsoever. So, to me, it's like, if you planned on getting in a fight, you wouldn't have got her involved. So it kind of sounds like Punk attacked them, if I would have to say. Because, like I said, I don't think that you're going to go get a legal assistant or whatever and then go and get in a fight. That doesn't make any sense to me. So I don't know. I'm frustrated with the whole thing, though, because, okay, why do they need to be taken out of the intros? Why do they need to be taken out of all marketing going forward? If, like, there's shows for November and December that they're showing ads for and none of them are in it. Like, how long is the suspension supposed to be? Like, there needs to be answers. And then not only that, by you suspending them, there's no BTE. Tony's not doing Busted Open Radio or anything promoting AEW or because, you know, usually he promotes Dynamite the night before and gives you a little nugget to get a little surprised or like, oh, I need to definitely tune in. Tony's going to do something or whatever. So there's none of that. So it just feels like it's just like everything again is on standstill. And also, like, how fractured is this relationship if you're going to suspend them? And imagine if they don't feel like it's justified. Another thing that rubs me the wrong way, too, is, like, man, it sure sounds like Punk throws around his lawyers, like, all the time. Like, I'll sue you. Like, dude, mm-hmm. You're supposed to be Mr. Badass Punk, and you're, like, threatening to sue people. That's, like, what rich elite people do. And that's what, like, I think whatever Punk projects himself as, it's bullshit. He is a egomaniac that is a political backstabber. Like, he will cut you off to get ahead. He always has been that guy. But when it happens to him, he's the victim. He's upset. I thought it was perfect. Did you see that clip where it was like, I'm tired and I work with children? It was like Aaron Rodgers after the game.
Didn't, but I can envision exactly what that would be. Yeah, that's
like funny. It was just the clip of Punk at the end where he's like, I'm tired and I work with effing children and all that. And then they were like, this is Aaron Rodgers after the game. It's just true.
Yeah.
True. And that's the way I view him. Like, I just think that he's a egomaniac that wants his way. And like, Aaron Rodgers can be all upset and throw a fit and everything, but like, dude, you chose to take the most money. So now you have no stars to play with. That's your choice. You've already made a gajillion dollars, but it wasn't enough. So you need the most money, and then you're going to throw a fit that you don't have any wide receivers or whatever. And it's like, at the end of the day, that's on you. Tom Brady takes less money, and he gets Julio Jones, Chris Godwin, and Mike Evans. That's what happens.
Yeah, it's hilarious hearing, like, this. Like, I think we talked about it a little last week, but the – like, the Talk is Jericho. I think it was Talk is Jericho. It was from the cruise one of the cruises when Jericho and Cody are on like one of the Jericho cruises and they're doing an interview and they're telling stories about Punk literally walking around talking about how he's the locker room leader and like ordering people around to doing stuff. Like, so apparently he was like walking around the locker room and like announcing like, as the locker room leader, we need to make sure that, you know, this is clean and we do this or that better, blah, 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 in the locker room. And apparently, like, Booker T stood up and just, like, dropped something on the floor right in front of him on purpose and was like, you're not going to tell me what to do, locker room leader. Like, you know what I mean? Like, no, like, if you have to announce yourself as a locker room leader, you aren't a locker room leader. Like, the actual, those people don't have to. Everyone just knows. You know what I mean? So, like,
they don't have to take your advice. Like, no. he takes it like, what I tell you is gospel, and if you don't take it, then you're disrespecting me.
Right.
It's like, no, they're actually over in 2022 doing their own thing. They don't have to do what CM Punk did. And what CM Punk does is different, and it's special. It got him over, like, a guy that's not that athletic to be as over as he is. I mean, he definitely did his thing. But I think that he portrays a character that he is not. Just like Terry Bollea portrayed Hulk Hogan, that's not really who he is. I think CM Punk is the same way. I think that he's definitely not this, I'm just a, you know, a young kid from Chicago, from the streets, and I work my way to the top, and I'm still, I bet you've got, I bet you're sleeping in silk pajamas right now. Like, you are in calling your lawyers and looking over your legal documents. Like, that's what you're doing.
So, and I want to bring this up real quick. So remember back in the day when they were filming Dark Side of the Ring and there was actual footage of, like, you know, Bret Hart and Vince McMahon going into the same room and the cameras aren't there, but you know that Bret punched him in the face, and because Vince is walking out of that room, stumbling around, and he's got a black eye, and Bret had his one shot, and he took it, and he clearly took that shot, and he dropped Vince McMahon. Like, it's like unanimous. Like, he had it, he dropped him. Everyone knows it. In this story that I've been hearing backstage, I haven't heard one person be like, yeah, CM Punk threw the first punch, nailed Matt Jackson in the face, and just knocked him out cold. Like, no one's saying that.
No. Nope.
It's like, when it's
fight lasted forever, and ended up with any, like, real damage.
Right. What it sounds like, you know how bad that is? Like, if you fought in the UFC, and you threw the first punch, and the other guy isn't even defending it, and you don't knock them out, or at least, like, drop them to, at least make it story-worthy enough that, like, somebody who witnessed it leaked something about CM Punk dropping somebody back. Like, these stories don't exist because, like, he might have punched somebody, but he can't fight. So, like, I mean, what's that tell you guys? You know what I mean? This guy, whatever. Like, and dude, if Tony Khan actually takes his side in this whole thing, if Punk winds up not having any real, dude, that's a way to, like, get me turned off of the company. Like, that's, you know how crazy that is.
Here's the thing that concerns me is I keep hearing that these legal issues, there's legal issues coming.
Right.
I don't think that's from the Bucks. I think it's getting ready. Get ready for CM Punk's legal team against AEW's legal team. That's what I think this is about. And that's why I think that they suspended everybody so he doesn't have anything to say that he was suspended unfairly and all this other stuff. Like, that's why I think everybody is equally suspended and it's all under investigation because they're also doing a third-party investigation, which to me just shows that they're trying to cover their tracks to make sure that stories add up. So when they go to court, then this is what they'll have to present. You know what I mean?
Which is, by the way, I think the only reason Nakazawa and Daniels, there are certain people that are suspended strictly because of the investigation that probably didn't really do anything. So.
Imagine if Kenny really didn't do anything and got bit and trying to save CM Punk's dog. Like, imagine how pissed Kenny is right now that he's doing that. Like, he has to go through this crap.
Right.
So, I just think that
this is even worse, by the way. Like, it's very possible you might have completely missed the first punch. That actually proves my point even more.
That could have really messed up his elbow tricep even worse, right? Because, you know, he's really angry or whatever.
Well, imagine tearing your bicep even worse. Former UFC fighter and doing yourself throwing a punch. Wow. Anyways.
You know, and this is thing, hoping for Cole to come back if we need him. I totally agree with that. Enjoy going to Grand Slam also. Yeah, it'd be a great time for Adam Cole to come back right now. So how did you feel about Tony's announcement? Like, just when he came in on the screen and just, like, promised the greatest 3 weeks of pro wrestling action. Yeah. And, like, but almost just, like, so here's my issue with the whole thing. If you don't, like, pay attention to the internet at all, right, and you ordered the pay-per-view and then you're watching Dynamite, you've got to be scratching your head, like, what the hell is going on? Like, I have no clue. Why would these people be – why are titles being stripped? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think if you if it happened, then you definitely got to at least address due to – a confrontation that happened after the pay-per-view that had nothing to do with the entertainment program that we do or whatever, I am going to have to suspend or whatever. But, like, we can't do this oblivious crap where it's just like we are just going to go on each week and we're not going to mention anything and we're not going to say anything. Like, these are your biggest stars in the entire company. Like, oh, it needs to be said. Give me a damn date, right? When are they coming back? Are they coming back? Do you plan on letting them go? Like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, no, I'm with you. The Tony Khan announcement I thought was kind of funny because, and I'm not faulting him for this because, like, there's really no other way to do this, to be honest. It just looked funny, but, like, he was so clearly just reading this teleprompter as he was saying it. He was just trying so hard to just, like, because he knew what was happening. Like, he knew he was getting booed. He knew, like, you're just like, all right, I just got to get through this. Just make this announcement and then get back to doing whatever I'm doing backstage. But you're right. I mean, imagine if you're not some, like, you know, big-time wrestling fan that just kind of watches AEW casually or even watch it enough to watch the pay-per-view, but you're not really on Twitter and stuff throughout the week.
You went to a buddy's house. Oh, you're having AEW on? Okay, cool. I'll come over and watch it. But, like, you're not, like, really invested.
Right.
And then you're like, okay, I'll check out Dynamite. MJF was – that's the last thing I saw was MJF and Punk staring each other down.
Right. Yeah.
And then I turn on Dynamite, and it's, like, doom and gloom. And then you're like, what the hell is going on? And you don't really know. And then all of that, we're doing a tournament. Like, okay, I guess.
I get this reference, Dirty. He says Punk reminds me of late 90s Shawn Michaels. I'd argue, though, that, like, late 90s Shawn Michaels was infinitely cooler than CM Punk. Like, let's be real. But I understand, like, from the attitude perspective of, like, backstage politicking and being annoying.
One big difference was Shawn was a drug addict and CM Punk doesn't do drugs. But
right, which can be equally as annoying, by the way. It can be equally as annoying if you're that guy who's always telling people how to live their lives, too.
I don't think it's this that equally as annoying, but it's the fact that he literally has no excuse for being a dick. Like,
oh, I see,
I'm 100% sober, and this is 100% me. You can't, like, Shawn has so many examples where he's like, I was pilled out of my mind. I didn't know what I was doing. Like, Punk is like, yeah, I'm 100% sober. I'm not doing that. You know, it's like, okay. So, did you see this?
I actually haven't. I haven't heard, but I saw just clips when I was scrolling through Twitter, but I have not listened to it. I heard before we get into it, I don't know. I saw some people on Twitter saying it was a terrible promo, but I don't know if that's where you're going with that or.
No, I don't think it's that terrible. It's just you kind of got to read the room. You know what I mean? Like, you're not like
I didn't know. Okay, see you. Yeah.
So let's talk about that too. So let's talk about the tournament, right? How you feel about the tournament? How do you feel about the former champions that were chosen? Because every single one of them is a former either a world champion or a TNT champion. You good with that?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, okay. I like the people that they chose for it. I think it made sense. Yeah.
Yeah. I was surprised Sammy was in it. I'm not going to lie. Because he's just been so cold lately.
Who would you rather have, like Miro? Like something like that, maybe?
Miro makes more sense, yeah. And he was the TNT champion. The problem with that, though, is Miro's going to have to job to somebody. And, right. Like, I don't know if that's what they want to go with right now. They're trying to build him back up or whatever. But, you know, another thing I don't like, too, is, like, why can't current champion be involved? Like, why can't Wardlow be in the tournament? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, why can't he at least get there? But anyways, I was cool with it, but it really feels like that they're trying to make an effort to rebuild Sammy.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's going to work. It seems kind of forced. Like I was very surprised Sammy won on Friday.
Yeah, me too. I thought that Darby, especially with Darby's like history with Mox, it made sense for them to go at it. I thought it would have been cool to have Darby win the whole thing, to be completely honest, especially if MJF was going to like win the title soon after anyways, like, cause MJF and Darby have history and they could do something for the title also. Like, but yeah, no, it's surprising. I mean, I don't think there's any way that Sammy's going to beat Mox.
No,
I think it's probably Mox and Danielson in the finals.
I think Danielson's going to win.
You think Danielson's win the whole thing? I think that's very, especially if he beats Jericho, then it's like he's avenging his losses throughout the tournament.
That's what I'm saying. Because he just lost to Jericho. He's not losing to Jericho again.
Right.
And he lost to Moxley at Full Gear, and I think he's going to beat Moxley. And Moxley was planning to take a 6-week vacation or so when all this stuff happened and he came back. So, and honestly, like, I've told you this. Last week, like, I love the idea of Bryan Danielson and MJF. It is the ultimate babyface versus the ultimate heel. It will be very easy to boo MJF again if he's going up against Bryan Danielson.
And it'll be a fantastic in-ring match. Like, that match would be awesome.
That might be the best match of MJF's career, because Bryan Danielson will bring it out of him. And the great thing is, if the crowd is hot, they're really into the storyline, like, I think it could go really well. I love the idea. I love the idea of Bryan Danielson being champion. I told you that when he first came, he needed to be champion. He's older and he's not going to get a lot of time to be a champion. So if you're going to do it, then do it. The CM Punk thing pretty much failed. Like, let's be honest. I mean, like two title reigns that lasted 2 days, if that. So And then, like I said, the whole thing too is the fact that he's injured too. So it's like you go from him being out almost 3 months for a broken foot, he's gonna be out 8 months for a torn tricep. Like, why do you even want to go there again? Like that's right. The question, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I'll say this also real quick too, because I know the PWI 500 drops tomorrow. I think Mox should be number one, honestly. Like, I thought about it a little bit. He's probably my wrestler of the year, considering the GCW stuff and the indie stuff and the AEW stuff and how high level he's been and how big of a draw he is. Like, if not him, I guess it would have to be Roman. I can't think of anyone else that, you know. But I think Mox had an awesome year, and I love that promo that he cut yesterday, on Wednesday. I thought that was. The whole time to become a legend thing he's so believable. I think he's at the top of his game right now.
It felt like the whole locker room was fired up.
Yeah.
Like the ones that were still there, and I hate to say this, but it almost felt like it was like a breath of fresh air for everybody, for the big guys to go. Like, it allowed people to be more comfortable, I guess.
Oh, Mr. Hey, dude, this guy's just always hating. This guy's how I am about CM Punk, to be fair. Like, you can call me a big CM Punk hater. This guy's a Mox hater. Hey, we appreciate you always being in here. It's funny because we agree on probably everything except for John Moxley from what I've seen in the chat, like from what he's usually putting in there. So we appreciate you.
This is pretty fair.
Mox, Ospreay, and Dax. I don't know if they're going to put Dax that high, but I think he'll be in the top 25 singles wrestlers, maybe even the top 15, but I think that might even be a stretch maybe. But I love Dax, though. I just don't know if he has enough.
I think if Ospreay was able to do more things and not just take like a month off because New Japan doesn't want to do anything and all that stuff, then I think he could definitely make more of a run for it, but it's not going to happen this year. You know, honestly, if MJF has a strong towards the end and let's say he actually does win the title, it could possibly be MJF up there too, because he was involved in the best feud of the year was him and CM Punk. Like, I think that he definitely deserves credit there. But I understand what you're saying with Moxley, especially the fact that it's not just AEW, it's GCW. Yeah. And it's not just that he's there for AEW. Like, he's there to pick up the pieces when it's
right
down, right? Yes. All the guys are injured, you're the champion. You know what I mean? So,
especially coming back after his own, like, he was down and out, and like he's like rebounded in his personal life, and like he's rebounded to become like this super dependable, like living a totally different lifestyle, like the no drinking and stuff, and just totally just seems like he totally 180, and now he's like the go-to guy for AEW, which is he's the ace of AEW, like John said. I mean, that's earned. Like, that's something I wouldn't say about most people. I mean, I love AEW. Like, I'll call John Moxley the ace of AEW. I'm definitely cool with that.
Yeah. No, I understand. So here's my thing with Mox. Like, I like him, right? But I know I'm not really going to get a match of the year with him. So that's the only thing. It kind of like I'm on the fence with AEW, with him on AEW. I also think that I would personally like him to incorporate more like hardcore stuff, because that's really what his character was, and he would have more hardcore type matches. I think the match between him and Kenny at Full Gear is one of the best matches you'll see. Like, I love that match, and I love that style from him. That match with him and Lance Archer in Dallas was awesome. More lights out matches from Moxley. If you want to be Moxley for the title, you got to face me in a lights out match to do it. You know what I mean? Like, I would like him to be more that type of guy, to where it adds more of an element, especially like on a pay-per-view. And it also puts people in an uncomfortable environment that you have to face Moxley in a type of match that's like his bread and butter.
Yeah, I'm with you. In like a month, he's going to be wrestling Nick Gage for the GCW title. So,
which is another reason why he's not going to win.
Right.
Unless he actually wins in GCW, but there's no way they're going to have the AEW champion like job to Nick Gage. Like, no way that's happening.
No, I agree. But yeah. So, and I do expect Nick Gage to win the title next month. But personally, I'd like to see Mox hold on to it, but you know, with Gage's career being on the line and everything, you know, I just don't see him being also done.
I think Mox has really become more relied on than he was.
For AEW.
It's like, I don't think that he needs to necessarily be that available for GCW at this point, because he needs to be more available for AEW right now with what they're going with. You know, but like when Adam Cole comes back and Omega and the Bucks and blah, 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 then maybe, but we'll see what happens. I have no idea what's going to happen. And I just don't know if, like, Tony's burning bridges at this point, if he doesn't care. I also kind of feel like Tony gave in to public pressure. Like, I kind of feel like it was just like, oh, you have to suspend them. You have to show them who's boss. They run the asylum. And so it's kind of like, I feel like that he might have done something that he necessarily didn't even want to do. But he did it to make sure that, like, it's a good image. It shows that it's, like, not the wrestlers running the company. You know, when you have CM Punk sitting right next there to him and says, I'm trying to run a business here. Like, bro, you ain't the boss. But he really tried to come across like he runs the company. Mm-hmm. And it was embarrassing on a whole different level.
You want to know who has become my MVP recently? He's somebody that I for years was always like, I feel bad now that I wasn't a bigger fan, It was more because of his surroundings. It wasn't really his fault. I always thought he was talented, but I thought those around him were just a bit more talented.
Yeah.
Bobby Fish, right? Like, okay, so Bobby Fish is the freaking man. This guy, I'll say it right now, I said it on the Weekender. If he ever fought CM Punk in any sort of combat sport, any sort of non-predetermined combat sport, I will put $1,000 on Bobby Fish. No lie. Like, I love what this man is saying publicly right now about everything. I think it's hilarious. Like, I love it. He's just like this angry dude. He's been waiting so long to get the stuff off of his chest. And I just wanted to give a big shout out to Bobby Fish. Throughout the years, I've always been like, yeah, Adam Cole, you know, is Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly are just on a different level than he is. But I didn't realize the man behind what I was seeing on television was so cool. So Bobby Fish has become one of my favorite wrestlers of all time recently.
Put my house on Bobby Fish.
Yeah.
You know, like, honestly, I grew a lot of respect for Fish when I saw him live in Ring of Honor. And the heel heat that guy got was unreal. Like, he had people waiting for him after the show ready to fight. Like, he was, and he would go right after people and knock people's hats off and just like talk mad crap. Like, because at the end of the day, he knows he can legit kick their ass because he's, you know, definitely, like, if you go, you can find some kickboxing stuff that he's done in on YouTube. I think he even had an MMA fight. So is Scorpio Sky. But did you notice that he kicked out at 2.5 against Punk?
Well, I mean, I've like went and I couldn't remember, like, I remember it now that I've seen it so much on my timeline recently. But I heard his explanation about it and stuff as well. Which I think is, yeah, it makes sense. He said he gave him the Iggy to do something, so he kicked out. And Bobby Fish is the man.
That would have been really bad if Fish and O'Reilly were part of that fight.
took out everybody. Like,
oh my god!
Anyone who wasn't on their side would have been done. Also, this is unrelated, but I do want to bring it up real quick because, really? Sorry, you're lagging just a little bit. Somebody brought up, here it is, Jigsaw95 brought up, he asked if we saw Gibbs sleep McBroom. Yeah, I saw it was a good knockout. I think he's a little overhyped, the reason I wanted to mention that though is, man, Adrian Peterson got knocked out by Le'Veon Bell on that team.
Oh my god, did he? How tough was that to watch?
Honestly, like, it's tough, but it's not as bad. If he would have been like a lifelong Viking,
in front of like maybe 200 people too.
Oh yeah, no turnout at all. It's amazing. You see, and that's the thing, when I give credit, I give so much credit to events like Creator Clash and a lot of what they do on DAZN, to be honest, and the Happy Punch promotions that Keemstar is running and with Fousey. The Deji KSI stuff, like that, and obviously with the Pauls, like, that stuff actually is really, really, really well put together and promoted. Like, it really is. People don't give it enough credit for how many asses they put in the seats in those venues, because the flip side is like what we saw with this McBroom thing, where literally like a couple hundred people show up and it's this venue, there's no one's there. And it isn't just them. I saw it was like some sort of actual WBC boxing match, like, and Don King was there. This was like 6 months ago. And there was the same amount of people at that thing, maybe less. It looked like there was like 50 people at this WBC fight. It's like, because no one knows it's happening. Like, it's no one's promoting it. And so, yeah, so once again, like, that's why y'all can think whatever you want to about the actual performance levels of those boxers and stuff. I get all that with the influencer boxing. I understand it's not for everybody, like, in the skill levels all over the map, but it is really impressive when you see like 10,000 plus people fill up an arena to watch YouTubers box. And then you see like the same thing attempted like this past weekend and like 200 people show up. Like it's yeah. crazy. So
especially with some decent names, like a lot yeah. of it, most people had no idea that it was even going down, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I told Sean Ross Sapp the day of, like, he jumped on with me and Rob when we were talking football. And I asked him who he had in the fight, and he was like, wait, that fight's happening and it's happening tonight? Like, what? Like, he had no idea. Like, you know, Denise Salcedo worked the event, which I thought was hilarious. So wow. good for Denise. She's all over the place.
So another part of this is the WWE, and there's rumors that the Bucks have sent out feelers to see if there's interest. There's rumors that Kenny has done the same thing. I will say this. I don't think it's out of the question. I think especially if there's a bridge burn there, part of me too feels like for whatever reason, these guys don't feel like that they can just take a demotion from the EVP thing. They have to leave. And then they can just be treated as normal wrestlers and not have to deal with all the drama and all the stuff. But I mean, dude, for me, like, you lose the Bucks and Kenny and Cody with just being, let's say, 3 to 4 years in. Like, how bad does that look?
Yeah, looks terrible. And, I definitely don't think it's out of the question. I think it's very, very possible. But, I mean, to what level can they actually talk to the WWE at this point? You know, obviously they have a lot of mutual friends between the companies definitely. And stuff.
I mean, the Bucks would be like, hey, Kevin Owens, like, go ahead and talk to Hunter and just see if he wants me.
Because like you said, they're, like, you can't, if you're them, you can't just be a wrestler. The same thing with Cody when he was at AEW. Like, he's already, like, that guy there. Like, you can't just stop being that guy there. Like, it isn't realistic. In a perfect world, like, I get the idea of, oh, you just take the EVP level label off, and I'm just going to be a wrestler on the roster from here on out. But, like, you've already formed these relationships where you're helping mentor people and help do certain stuff, and people come to you for certain reasons and so that it's, you can't just flip that off like a switch, I don't think. And then also creatively and stuff, it's like you had the EV, you know what I mean? Like, I just don't think you could. That's why Cody was probably so great for him to get a fresh start with WWE again. It's just like, I don't have to worry about any of that. I'm just being my own guy, worrying about myself and just trying to be the best pro wrestler I can be. But if he would have stayed in AEW, he would have still been like a mentor to a lot of the people he brought in. And like, you never would have really just been another one of the wrestlers.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, but if like you're Kenny Omega, like it kind of makes sense to me to go to the WWE, just a sense that like you did New Japan, you did AEW, you go to the WWE, you've like experienced it all. And it just kind of adds to your legacy, right? The only reason I felt like that he would never go there is just because I thought that he would be like so happy in AEW and as part of like the company that he helped start. And, you know, he's got freedom to do this video game and like all this other stuff that like he's passionate about, bringing in like Japan talent and then being able to still work with New Japan and do AEW, like all that stuff. But after this incident, like, I just have no idea. I have no idea how loyal Tony is to these guys at this point. I don't even know. Like, I will say this. I think at this point, Tony thinks having them as EVPs was a mistake. I think if he could go back and do it all over again, he would not have had any of the wrestlers be EVPs. And he probably would have brought in other people to run the show. So, you know, it'd be bad though. And I'd hate to say this, but like, imagine if like they all leave and then he makes like Adam Hangman Page, Moxley, Jericho, all EVPs. Like, it's just like, dude, it's rinse and repeat. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I'm just, and it's not that I'm against Tony or anything like that. It's just, this is just part of growing pains. It just, there was such a honeymoon period. And I think that it really ended when Triple H was able to take over and Vince stepped down. Like, because there's people that would not even give WWE a shot ever again as long as Vince McMahon is running that company. And now that he is done, it's like you're dealing with a different ballgame here. You are dealing with a whole nother reality of people that are coming back to wrestling and watching. And like I told you too, the WWE has the benefit of they don't even have to be great. They just have to be good. That's all they have to be. And people will say they're great if they're good.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think that it would be smart to like you said, to like replace the EVPs with other wrestlers like that. It sounds pretty clear, though, that Jericho seems to be, like, the locker room leader from what it sounds like, which makes obvious sense. He's been around the longest, and he's drawn for as long as he has, and, you know, the respect and all over the world and the 30-plus year career, so on and so forth. It makes sense.
And if he was really, like, a cancer, like, this would be the perfect opportunity for him to jump and do dirty stuff, and that's, like, the last thing he's trying to do right now. He's trying to uplift the people in the company and stand by it and all that stuff, so... I think he deserves a lot of respect right now.
Yeah, and I think maybe Tony looks at some of his kind of leaders backstage and goes, all right, I'm going to go solo without the EVPs. Or maybe he makes his EVPs like Tony Schiavone and like Excalibur type people. You know what I mean? Like people that are like that know the business and know the talent and have experience and so on and so forth. Maybe you make it like non-wrestlers that you trust as kind of your inner circle as your EVPs. But yeah, I don't think it would be smart to like have, but maybe you do something for like your Jerichos, Moxley's, Danielson, Hangman type guys. You like you give them like a pay bump, you know, or something. You're like, here's a bag of cash. Like, I just need you to step up in the locker room. Like nothing official, but just like certain questions here or there. Like just please, just help in these certain ways, you know, kind of thing. But don't put an official label on it. Don't make them do the level of work that like a Cody was doing when he was the EVP. Just maybe you just detect a few people that are kind of locker room leaders back there, give them a little extra money and let them know you appreciate that you're helping handle stuff backstage a little bit. But yeah, Regal as an EVP would make sense too. Says,
the only thing that worried me about that is like, how loyal is Regal to AEW? Like, would he, because he would have never got fired under Triple H
and his son's like, in WWE.
Is he counting down the days to get out of there? You know what I mean? Like, it's just really weird right now where it was like literally everybody wanted to jump to AEW and now it's like people want to go to the WWE. But I feel like they could be making the same mistake as in overdoing their roster and signing everybody again and then not having enough room and people not being used and all that other stuff. Like it's literally just like back and forth, but doing the same thing. You know what I mean?
You know, it'd be really cool is if they did, and this would be like, obviously it's hypothetical, but like if they did, just to show just some sort of, willingness to work together between AEW and WWE. Like if we can get anything going at all cross promotionally, like Charlie Dempsey is William Regal's son who wrestles for the WWE. And he's really, really good. I watched him on NXT UK for like the last, I guess, couple years. And now he's like making the transition over to the US. And like, it would be so cool if he could be a part of the Blackpool Combat Club and just be a part of a completely different company. You know what I mean? Like if they can somehow acknowledge that like he wears either the merch or like something like that in an exchange, WWE does get something from AEW like that, where there's some sort of just, cause like what's so cool about the Blackpool Combat Club is there's representation on like all these companies where like when New Japan's around, like Shota kind of represents the company. And then in like Ring of Honor, they have Claudio Castagnoli and they're about to have Dana Garcia and they had Wheeler Yuta and like, it's kind of, it's so cool how like cross promotional it is. Like it'd be so badass if they could just have like Charlie Dempsey as like a member of the Blackpool Combat Club, but he's in a totally different company. Like something like that would be just really cool. So
yeah, no, I agree. Guys, right now we've got 64 people in here. So if you could just please smash that like button right now. So we'll give you a couple of seconds to do that.
And while you're doing that, let me I gotta hit my AC real quick before I do that before the show. I'll be back in.
It's burning up.
I'm burning up right now. I'm grabbing myself another sugar-free root beer. I've been doing the sugar-free sodas lately because
I've been doing like the sugar-free like drink mixes into water. So
like Crystal Light type stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll have like a soda in the morning when I go to work, when I work in the building, and then I'll just like when I'm at home, I don't have any soda. I just have drink mixes and stuff.
Nice.
Getting older, gotta take care of myself.
I used to drink those a lot when I wrestled in high school because they were like, you could, it was better than just drinking water, but it didn't like put any weight on you, you know?
Yeah.
So, all right, cool. I'll be back in like a minute with my drink and the AC on. Let us know in the chat. What are y'all thinking about everything we're talking about?
And, yeah.
If you have any questions or anything.
Do you think the Bucks and Kenny will go to the WWE? Let's just say that.
There you go.
Michael, how we doing, man? How'd you feel about the Patriots? We both had some pretty rough offensive starts. Let's just say that. So the thing is, too, is I feel like that Tony is, like, forced to be a boss when he doesn't want to be, and it's getting to a weird point. I feel like a part of the fan of Tony has kind of died. Like, he's always going to be a fan, but, like, the realization of him having to actually be, like, the boss really hit him hard on All Out Weekend, and I'm very curious to see how Tony will adjust. I think this is a pivotal point for him. And it's not just because of like who he can keep in the company and all that, but just like the interest in general with the company. And like, you got a TV deal coming up soon. You have to land this TV deal to really be a long-term threat that you can constantly be competitive with. Otherwise, you know, you don't get big money on a TV deal. The WWE gets huge money on a TV deal. They take all the talent. Every time there's a free agent, they take them. It's not going to be pretty. You know what I mean? But I do think that we're dealing with a different animal with Tony because Tony has a lot of money and he knows pro wrestling. Like, this isn't a Dixie Carter thing. Dixie Carter would be like asking, you know, Hulk Hogan and Bischoff and Jeff Jarrett, what's cool in pro wrestling? Who should I go get? Things like that. Like, Tony knows who's great, who's not. So it's an interesting concept. And we'll see what happens. I'm very curious to see the fallout from all these suspensions and what they're going to do. What do you guys got to say? Yeah, Ring of Honor is so secondary right now. Like, I don't want to say I almost wish he didn't purchase it, but I almost wish he didn't purchase it just because it's like you really need to focus on AEW. AEW needs to be the priority. Like, and I enjoy Ring of Honor pay-per-views and all that stuff. But like, okay, so example, FTR, they're probably tag team of the year, right? I wouldn't say there's anybody else that's really even that close. But if ROH didn't exist, would FTR be tag team of the year? Like, one of the main reasons that they're so popular right now is because of what they've been doing in Ring of Honor. So, like, it definitely serves its purpose. You know, Claudio's champion, that serves its purpose. But I just don't know if you should be dealing with like a secondary market, trying to get another TV deal or a streaming service or whatever, especially right now when streaming services are like up in the air. So it's just a tricky time right now.
All right, what do we got?
So I think you guys have been really fair in the critique, zero bias, just truth telling. That's why y'all are the best. I appreciate that. Thank you, Michael. I think we definitely went hard on Punk, but I think that at the end of the day, like, we know a lot about Punk, and we are both diehard MMA fans, and we've seen Punk fight, and I just think that that's part of the critique of Punk. I think if you've never seen him fight, then you could believe that he's a badass. And, you know, the way that he talks and all that, you would think that, you know, he could do some serious damage, but we've seen it. It's not what you think with the way that he talks. I'll just say that.
Especially with who it was against. That's what really needs to be stressed. Like, it'd be one thing if he was like a UFC fighter who went in there and fought like legitimate UFC level competition in there. He did with Mickey Gall. I'll always give that credit. Mickey Gall was legitimate. Should have never been in the ring with him or in the cage with him. Completely unfair matchup. But the Michael Jackson fight, like, that he held him down and tickled him, y'all. And he was terrible. So, like, we just gotta keep that in check. Honestly, like, CM Punk fighting the influencers that I've been watching box, like, that would have made a lot more sense, like, competitively. I'll keep it real. Like, Gib would knock him out. Like, I don't think it'd be competitive. Like, we're talking, and I know you think I'm trolling, but I'm really not. Like, CM Punk versus Aaron Carter is like a fair fight. Like, that's like the level we're talking here. Like,
I think CM Punk would beat Aaron Carter.
That's yeah, but when you think about it though, like, I can give you that, but wouldn't it make more sense for him to fight him than like,
oh, 100%.
even than like a Dr. But you gotta Mike think, type guy?
I mean, like, these celebrity boxing matches were not really a thing back when he signed with the UFC. They were, but they were way more freak show. Like,
they were like Screech and Bonaducci.
That's what I'm saying.
Canseco.
But like, Logan Paul and KSI like sold like 10,000 tickets in the Staples Center and did very well on like DAZN pay-per-view or whatever. So like, it's a different animal now. Like, could you imagine if CM Punk left the WWE and then fought Jake Paul? Like, he'd get knocked out. I'm just saying, like, the buzz, all that. Like, people would have bought the crap out of that pay-per-view. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, nowadays, like, obviously that fight just wouldn't even get sanctioned now. But, like, Jake Paul, we don't even need to get in that conversation. He would literally knock his head off of his shoulders into the crowd. Like, it would be
it wouldn't even be close. Yeah. So, but I'm just saying, like, just something like that didn't really exist. And so, like, if Punk would have left with all that momentum that he had leaving the WWE, and his first fight would have been to fight Jake Paul in a boxing match, the pay-per-view buzz would have been huge for that fight.
Dude, I thank you, Travis, for this. I remember this. Jason David Frank, the Green Ranger, a.k.a. the White Ranger. I know he played some Rangers later on, but yes. Jason David Frank did have some MMA fights years back that I remember watching. And like, I remember one of his opponents tried to mock him and like came out to like the Power Rangers theme song, and the Green Ranger just destroyed him. Like that was the Green Ranger. It's so funny saying this out loud, but like the Green Ranger, I don't even want to say it, 'cause I don't know if YouTube would, if the Green Ranger fought CM Punk, he might not survive it. Literally. It would be that one-sided. Also, shout out Ernie Reyes Jr. in the corner of Nate Diaz for the fight.
He's part of Diaz.
I know, but it's just every time I see it, it's just like, that's so cool. That's like the coolest. But yeah, like, and I remember the Green Ranger calling out CM Punk. He wanted the fight for years, and Punk kept ducking him. Punk was the reason that fight didn't happen, not the Green Ranger. So, that's just where we're at with CM Punk, I guess, at this point. Like, once again, if he returns to AEW and there's like no repercussions and the Elite's gone, I might be out, like, which is insane to think about from where I was with this company to where, like,
the greatest wrestling company of all time and all that.
And Tony Khan's my hero, dude. And it's like, this is, if you actually side with CM Punk throughout this, you're gonna have some problems. Like, this isn't good.
So I think one of the dopest storylines that they could do is the Elite attack Cody if they all sign to the WWE, because then it's like, you don't know if it's real or not, like the NWO-ish type, but like, they attack Cody because he betrayed the Elite. And then the Elite act like they're outsiders from AEW, where they're not necessarily supposed to be there or whatever. Like, I think something like that would be dope.
That'd be so sick. Yeah, I would love
that. Why the hell are they here and all this stuff? And it's like, oh my God, you know? And then,
you know,
like,
who we are, but you don't know why we're here.
Yeah. But I mean, like, so many people would hate that too because they hate the Elite so much. But to me, that would be like the closest thing to the outsiders invading the WWE. And I think that it would get a lot of buzz.
Well, and with Triple H in charge, if they let the Young Bucks go out there and like actually be the Young Bucks with like the same way that they act and with the same moveset and the same kind of matches, they would be so over with the kid audience in the WWE. Like, they'd be massive superstars there.
Yeah.
Like, with all the colors though, and stuff in their gear.
The only thing is, though, is if they came in as heels, it might be a little. But if they ever get to the babyface level, then yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It would be big.
Well, I mean, very at much some like, point, you'd get both. You know what I mean? Like, we'd have, like, a heel version and a babyface version at some point or another with all these guys, I'm sure.
The thing with the Elite, though, is it's numbers, right? Like, it's not the fact that they're coming in and, you know, just one-on-one fighting Cody. It would be a group attack, just like what the NWO did to The Rock, right? Like, they all came in and attacked The Rock.
Well, and with this... See, so it said the Elite couldn't be believable badasses, so it would suck. My counter to that would be, we all know CM Punk isn't really a badass, but his AEW run ruled. Like, I'll give him all credit all day. Like, people call me a hater, but like, I'll give credit. Like, the Darby stuff, the Kingston stuff, especially the MJF stuff. Like, I could kind of de-associate the how non-badass CM Punk actually, I could separate Phil Brooks from CM Punk, what I was seeing. Like, Phil Brooks the fighter and CM Punk the wrestler, I was able to like accept it. But yeah. So I think that the same thing could be said about the Elite. Like, if you don't believe they're badasses, like, would you also think that CM Punk's, you know, AEW run wasn't good, even though he definitely isn't a real badass, you know what I mean?
I'm starting to think too, did Punk wear sleeveless shirts till he came back? Because it started to become like this trend that he started to wear like sleeveless shirts. And I feel like it's like, cause he started working out those 2 months that he was out. And I almost feel like he's trying to look like more intimidating. And it's like, dude, there's nothing you can do that's going to make you come across as like Mr. Badass. You know what I mean? Like, but I remember when he first was starting, he was always like sleeve shirts, clapping at the crowd, like happy to be here. Everything's great. You take one good, Adam Page takes one good shot at you and you lose your effing mind. You've gone completely berserk. Like, it's just wild to me how sensitive he is. But it's very like low key, like, right? Like, if someone was disrespectful to low key, and I don't care if it's like a major promotion and he's got like a lot of money that like they're gonna give him a lot of money, he will end it in one night. Does not care. And I feel like that CM Punk is the same way, except he thinks that he's untouchable. Like, he thinks that he has all this backup and that Tony will back him up. And if Tony actually does back him up, like, that's a really bad look. That's such a bad look.
Well, and see, the big difference between low-key and CM Punk is, like, low-key will just, like, actually beat the shit out of you in the ring. Like, he'll just, like, take it out on you, and, like, he actually is. Either the opponent doesn't see it coming and just kind of lets him do it, or low-key. My point is, if CM Punk did that to somebody, they just beat CM Punk up. You know what I mean? Like, so it's like, he can't do that. Like low-key can go out there and like beat up a guy in the ring and like, you know, try to squash it that way. I don't agree with doing those things, but I've literally watched low-key knock somebody out in front of me before in a wrestling ring and been like, that wasn't supposed to happen, you know? And like, but if CM Punk attempted that, he would wind up getting his ass kicked. You know what I mean?
Dude, I'm 6'4". Low-key's like 5'8". And I was very intimidated when he went off on his rant. Like, I was just like, all right, you have a good one, sir. Like, he's definitely an intimidating dude. And he's a hell of an athlete, too. Like, he is an amazing athlete that would like that's the difference, right? Like, there used to be an era in the UFC where, like, if you were really tough and you hit hard, you could make through, like, a la Chris Leben and stuff like that. But, like, those days are over. Like, you have to be good at everything, and you have to be a legit badass, like, to even contend, you know? So.
Yeah, very true. I love Chris Leben, by the way. He was one of my favorites.
Let's be fair. I'm sure Punk is sick and fed up of backstage political BS. The elite pools doesn't make him any more right, but everyone is wrong in this situation. I don't know what the elite pools. I'll just say that, but I have a feeling that Punk doesn't like anybody in charge but him. And so when these, and that's what he kept saying, these so-called EVPs, like attacking their title, attacking them, trying to make it out like he's being put through it and all, like, I just don't buy it, because if that was the case, I feel like way more people would have said something. Like, Punk is the one that's like putting them on blast. And there could have been a lot of people that when they left that company, you know, like Joey Janela took a shot at Christopher Daniels saying that, like, I know he doesn't like me and I'm sure he'd be glad to fire me and all this stuff, but like never say anything about the Bucks. You know what I mean? Like, I think that people that have left, nobody's really said anything crazy about the Bucks or Kenny, right? So the Cody thing is interesting, though. Like, that fallout is interesting to me, but you can only relate those because they were all part of the elite, right? Like,
yeah.
And they all came up at the same time as EVPs with the company and everything. And I always think the biggest difference too is that Kenny and the Bucks were way closer regardless. Like, Cody probably felt like the odd man out after a while. It's like a group of three versus one. And so he wasn't going to get his way. And then it just kind of like folded out, you know? So, but I do think that if the guys tried to push their political way, Punk is not going to allow that to happen. And that's where the rubber met the road on this thing.
Right. I think the key in all this too is, like, we don't know, like, CM Punk seems like real convinced that the Young Bucks basically leaked out the information to media that that he's the reason Colt Cabana was like being moved to Ring of Honor and hasn't been used on the show and all this stuff. And but there's no real proof really that the Young Bucks did that. Like, they might have, but there's no, like, you know, there's also a good chance they didn't. You know, so it's like,
and we have some of the most reliable people in wrestling saying that they didn't get contacted by the Bucks at all about it. You know what I mean? So it's like,
yeah. So like, yeah, it just really seems like Punk, you know, he feels like he's the superstar amongst people that aren't on his level. And he so desperately wants people to walk up to him and ask him for his advice and be that locker room leader guy that he just isn't. To like heart to anybody, he gets so offended that Hangman Page does like a wrestling seminar and gets asked a question about like what he's learned from CM Punk and some of these veterans, and he's like, honestly, like, really nothing, because I do my own thing and it's working. And Punk like sees that clip somehow, like vanity searches himself to such a degree, he's such a narcissist that he somehow knows about this like obscure clip. And then of course with Hangman, you know, saying what he said, which once again, the whole workers' rights comment he made that nobody else picked up on, like no one else it would have been nothing to us as fans if CM Punk wouldn't have made it such a big deal himself. Now
I don't get the workers' rights thing. Can you explain that to me? Like, I've heard the promo, but like, how does it have reference to Colt Cabana?
Honestly,
it does.
Yeah, I don't know exactly how at all, but it definitely is in relation to that. I think it has to do with like that the lawsuit between him and Punk. But it's, once again, it's one of those things that went over all of our heads.
Like, but it kind of also makes sense because Cabana was in the Dark Order. Like, if you're just going to bring it up, like, it kind of makes sense. It wasn't like something that's completely out of the blue. Like, you didn't even know that they were friends. And now you're talking about Colt Cabana. Like, it's not the most outrageous thing. Like, I understand if he possibly crossed the line, But like for this reaction, like for you to literally go home for 2 months and rehab a broken foot, and the first thing that you're concerned about is the disrespect that you got from Adam Hangman Page. Like, dude, give me a break.
Yeah. Yep. I couldn't agree more. People know how I feel about CM Punk. I've said it on a lot of platforms. I've taken a lot of heat for it, but I've also gotten a lot of people that have agreed. So that's been nice.
He's a polarizing guy.
Yeah. 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 And most of the people that really defend him adamantly are either fans that got into wrestling around 2010 and or people who have never seen him fight, which is understandable. Yeah. Right. I'm looking at it through different lenses than most people are. Or I shouldn't say most people, but how than those people are.
He in a lot of ways is their John Cena.
Like you exactly, that's what that I'm way. Saying.
Like,
right.
Like you had to pick sides back then. Are you a Cena guy or are you a CM Punk guy? I mean, it was very much their Rock Austin, it's very much their Hogan Warrior. Like that's what it was. So there's a generation that didn't think John Cena was that cool back then, that was still young. And they went with CM Punk. And now that they're older, it's like, that's their guy. Also, if you're from Chicago, I just don't see a lot of people that are from Chicago that hate CM Punk. Like right. Mostly if you're from Chicago, you love CM Punk.
Yeah. I just lost my train of thought, but let me remember here. Where's any go with this here with Punk? I just totally forgot what I was going to say, but I was right on the tip of my tongue. But I think you're right about Chicago. Obviously they're not going to ever turn on him. Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe at this point, especially since like AEW is like the home, Chicago is its home. And like, if they feel like that CM Punk really hurt the company, I could definitely see it. I mean, he was kind of even getting some boos at the main event against Moxley. Like it was kind of split.
Yeah, he was. I mean, he's an unlikable guy for a lot of reasons, honestly. I mean, what I was going to say before was with him taking like the fan base going with him instead of Cena around that time, a lot of the fans that we're talking about, it's also the elusiveness of him being away for like 7 years too. So like they got like a few like really good years of like CM Punk being like their guy. And then he left and they've always wanted him to come back. So like they're super stoked that like their guy came back. Yep. But once again, what they don't, I don't know if they don't realize it because I don't know if he was saying it more in the MMA circles and we noticed it more or not, but like, correct me if I'm wrong, but that dude was trashing pro wrestling in their fan base for like years after he left. Like he wanted nothing to do with professional wrestling.
Yep.
And then he only wanted to do with it again around the time he started with that Fox deal with WWE or whatever.
This is another thing I wanted to talk to you about. Tony was talking about how he didn't think that the WWE relationship will work out for the way that he was treated. Somebody made a comment and I didn't pick up on it right away, but somebody made a comment that like the WWE contacted Punk just recently. Oh, they just recently did with that whole tampering thing. They contacted Jericho. They contacted Punk. They contacted a bunch of people and Tony found it very disrespectful, which I also think it's not crazy that they contact Aleister Black and then he asked for his release, right? So I do think that it is interesting where if you're the WWE, why the hell do you want to go there? Like,
yeah.
And not only that, why is Punk even willing to listen to them? Because to me, like you said, if Punk goes back there, it is the ultimate tail between your legs. Like, it is. You look like a fool.
Yeah, I agree. The only way you could spin it would be like, well, you can't even spin it because now Vince's doofus son-in-law is the one running the company that you talked all this shit about before.
And I mean, there's multiple clips. Like, it makes sense to me if Triple H really wants to go there again because he can handle it. But, like, dude, he – it's just wild to me that, like, that's what they were trying to do. But if you think about it, when Punk got that – let's say Punk got a call or a text or whatever, hey, you interested? What if that was why he threw a fit at the press conference? What if that was like him trying to get out of his AEW contract because he's trying to get out so he can go to the WWE? Like, what if they're giving him a huge offer that, you know, he can't turn down?
Because
he is a businessman. He is 100% a businessman. Clearly, and it's just weird, like, how it was so out of the blue and how it was so planned. Like, he went into that press conference to bring up Colt Cabana, 100%. Yeah. Sure. He went into that press conference to trash Adam Page. Like, he 100% did that. So I wouldn't put it out of the question that they not offered him something nice and that he was trying to get out of his contract. It would not surprise me. And then maybe Tony finds that out and wants to fight back with legal action. And, you know, like, there's just a lot going on there that is this is going to get ugly, I think. I think it is going to get ugly.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's amazing how much things changed from him signing with the company and him crying
about how Tony owns ROH footage and how he's so glad that it's not going to the other company and all this stuff.
His love letter to wrestling against MJF.
And, right. All that. Yeah. And it was all beautiful. It was the best time. He was so happy. Everything was great. He wins the belt, blah, blah, blah. He's devastated. He's heartbroken that he has to give up the title. And then he comes back as just a total dick and just like being ruthless and hating everything and everyone and being disrespectful. It's literally night and day from what we saw. But then you hear stuff about like what Bobby Fish said and how a whole bunch of other people aren't fans of him. And, you know, then it's like, oh, okay, so he's kind of been a jerk this whole time.
Well, I think now it's like more people are going to come out because it's CM Punk. Like, nobody is physically intimidated by CM Punk, but like the level of clout CM Punk carries is what people, I think, probably fear. So like, they don't like people that are not, you know, CM Punk's on a lot. If we're looking at like strictly like a level of fame amongst other pro wrestlers, CM Punk's one of the most famous pro wrestlers alive. It's you know, we can all agree on that.
Yeah.
So most people in a position like way under him, if they have problems with him, they're not going to really say anything because they don't want to jeopardize their own position in a company or on a show. Or once again, look at what just happened to Colt Cabana. You don't want that happening to you if you're Bobby Fish or something. You know what I mean? Say something and all of a sudden now you're not on the show anymore. So, but now like someone like Bobby Fish isn't in the company anymore. So he's like, screw it. I'll say whatever I want to say. Just total YOLO style, just bad, actual badass Bobby Fish. And so I think you're going to see more and more of it. And you're really going to see it once Punk has nowhere to go. Like once WWE doesn't want him, AEW doesn't want him, and UFC doesn't want him, which is probably right around the corner. Like, he's going to have nowhere to go. He's not going to want to put in the kind of work that it's going to take to do something like New Japan. He's not going to, like, he's just going to be stuck at home, miserable, doing nothing, writing comic books that nobody reads, and going to hockey games and hoping that people come up and hoping that people come up recognizing him, then pretending like he doesn't want to be approached. Like, so.
And not only that, you better address him the proper way and show respect.
Yeah, well, I'll show respect right here and say people are going to have a lot to say about Phil Brooks, I think, once he has literally no clout in the wrestling business, which I don't think is that far away. So, because how do you rebound from this? Like, even if you come back, you're automatically going to be hated by so much of the fan base that used to love you. You're going to have some of your loyals stick with
you. You're going to have to be this CM Punk on TV.
Right.
That's my opinion, because you're going to be the heel no matter what. Like, people are done with you. So
totally agree.
And you could get massive heel heat if he starts to act like Hulk Hogan in there and bring Hollywood Hogan, but like CM Punk. I think he could get massive heel heat. Imagine if Punk showed up in a suit, like, and just, like, started dressing up like a total rich elite prick, and then just, like, called AEW a bingo hall, and he's still stuck in this ridiculous contract, and he has to be a part of this trash wrestling company, and you know what I mean? Like, you could rival MJF heat for sure.
Yeah. Which, once again, I've said for a long time, that's the one way to make MJF a babyface in a scenario like this would be that we all just have to rally behind him for the greater good of, like, just getting that title away from CM Punk. We need an asshole to out-asshole. And we need MJF to out-asshole CM Punk for us, basically, to get that title away from him. And then we can all go back to
hating MJF. What I think would be great is where, like, the cleaner Kenny Omega shows up to get the belt back, or to give the company that him and the Bucks formed back their respect, and to get him out of there. You know what I mean? Like, I think that would be a very compelling storyline. But who knows with egos, if these guys will ever be allowed to work with, what kind of legal stuff. It's just kind of a mess. But we'll see what happens. I don't know about you, but, like, I honestly kind of would rather if they come back anytime soon. I don't really know if I want them to go for the trios titles. Like, I almost would rather just have Kenny do singles, the Bucks go for the tag titles, like, just do that and not even worry about the trios titles. They become too big of a focus to where they're just going to be like the second match on the pay-per-view card. You know what I mean?
Yeah, which is so wild because, like, they waited so long for Kenny to return to even do these titles. And now it's all those plans are just right out the window. Like, waited so long for specifically for Kenny. Like, we can't do those trio titles. They had the trio titles made for like a year before they ever used them, just waiting on Kenny's return. Dial up for film. Hey, thank you very much. We always appreciate you in the chat. Said nothing to ask. Just want to send you guys some love before we go to bed. Have a good night. Have a good night. Thank you very much. We appreciate
that's Kogan.
Kogan, Kogan's story. Yeah.
Yep. Definitely appreciate it, Kogan, as always. Thanks for tuning in tonight.
Absolutely.
But yeah, it's just more of a deep dive about, we'll see what happens. So your predictions is Moxley beats Sammy, which, I mean, I think is a no-brainer. And then I think Bryan Danielson beats Jericho. But then it's like, where does MJF fit in any of this? Because he can use that title shot at any time he wants to. So does it become a triple threat at Grand Slam? Or does he just wait till the win to face the winner? Like, what do you think's going to happen there?
I think, don't they go back to New York, like, not long after
the pay-per-view? Full Gear is in New York, New Jersey.
Okay, so I'd wait till then. I have MJF.
I think so too.
Whether it's a cash in or not, you make it heavily implied that he's going to be leaving that show as the champion.
And I don't think it would be that brutal for Bryan Danielson to lose after just a month or something. If, like, MJF does something shady or whatever and wins the title, because Bryan's legacy is already done.
There's pretty much nothing you can do to, like, take him down. Like, he'd have to
The great thing is then you just added another belt to his legacy, right?
Right.
Like, the ROH title, the WWE title, the AEW title, you know, it's all, but he did it all. So,
yeah.
I would be all for Bryan Danielson winning and then facing MJF at Full Gear. I think that would be dope.
Yeah.
And if you could pull it off, bring in Will Ospreay to face Kenny Omega at Full Gear, I mean, we have a pay per view. You know what I mean?
Imagine if that got thrown out the window. Like, we never get Moxley Ospreay and Omega because of this.
I will be so pissed. Imagine if that was the plan, like, generally the plan to do. And then they're like, yeah, we're scraping everything. Like, oh my God, no.
Yeah.
No. All right. Well, let's talk about a guy that just knows how to work the freaking system. I mean, I have never seen anything go more in someone's favor.
I know than exactly Nate where Diaz.
Going. Yep, 209. Nate Diaz, like, and the moment I found out that Chimaev didn't hit weight, I mean, it was a no-brainer. I was like, Nate and Tony, we've never seen it. I've always wanted to see it. And then not only that, if Kevin Holland Chimaev wanted to fight on the day before at the press conference, then let them fight in real life. And if either one of them back out, oh, so you were willing to fight for free in a press conference room, but you're not actually willing to fight in the cage. So I knew that deal was going to get done. And then they just mixed in the other one. And I'm like, dip bet. Like, hell yeah. And how do you feel about Nate? Like, I'm like, not as a dude, like the dude's a G, like amazing. Love Nate, right? True fighter. That's what makes Nate so great, is that it's just like, it's in his blood. He doesn't care to fight anybody. But like, I thought he looked pretty slow. And I thought he got tore up with leg kicks. And I thought that it's like the fight really has to get going for him to really get involved. And I don't know how I feel about him beating a shot Tony Ferguson. Like, I to me, Tony's just not the same anymore. I thought Tony looked the best he's looked in a while, but still, I mean, he's lost like, what, five in a row now, and he was on like a 12-fight win streak. Like, but it works perfect for Nate. And I knew that this could happen. And when he fought Tony, I was like, this fight's actually winnable. And then he can look like $1 million heading into free agency. Like, this is not what the UFC wanted at all. Make no mistake about it. Chimaev would have killed Nate, absolutely destroyed him. And I think that it worked out in his benefit, but.
Yeah. Oh, it absolutely did.
So now, Jake Paul's got to beat Anderson Silva, and I just don't see that happening.
Well, the good thing, though, that no one's really considering, though, is if Anderson wins, then you can still do a big Anderson and Nate fight, like, that a lot of people would watch. Like, it wouldn't be the same level.
Right. But, like, people want to pay to see Jake get his ass kicked.
Right, which I think is going to happen with Anderson.
I do, too.
Yeah.
And I think Anderson's going to play in there. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, how he kind of let Tito just, like, give him his best shots, and then he was just like, okay, now I'm going to hit you? Like, yeah. I kind of feel like that's what's going to happen with Jake. Like, Jake's going to really think he's winning the fight, like, going to try to tee off, and then Anderson's just going to be like, okay, let me show you what a jab and an uppercut is real quick. You know what I mean? Because it's not necessarily that Anderson does have power, don't get me wrong. But, like, Jake has not been in there with, like, that level of a technician with boxing skills like Anderson has. Like, Anderson will throw stuff at him where Jake is going to be like, oh my God, I have no idea what's coming. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think he's just hoping that he gets old overnight. Another thing too, man, Jake has not fought anybody that's going to be 200 pounds the day of the fight. He has not fought anybody like that, and that is going to be a totally different experience because he's always been the bigger guy. So I think – so, okay, let's say this. It falls through. Nate can't fight Jake Paul because Jake Paul gets viciously knocked out. What are you doing, Nate?
Logan Paul?
Maybe. Yeah. Isn't Logan Paul fighting somebody, though? I thought I saw something. He's fighting
– is he fighting
I don't remember who he's fighting, but he wants to fight somebody. I know that. So, man, Andrew Tate buried him so bad. Oh, my God. I would love to see that fight. You want to do that fight, bring it on. Because, oh, my God.
Yeah,
and, I want it. Like, Rogan knows of Andrew Tate as a kickboxer. And he's just like, that dude is a legit badass. And I'm like, I would love to see it. I've seen highlights and stuff. The only thing that looked kind of weird is he kind of leaves his hands down with his chin up, but it looks like he hits hard as hell. So it would be bad. It would be very bad.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, obviously I thought Nate looked awesome. I mean, for the most part, he's a little slow, but
were you surprised that Tony went for the shot? Or do you think he was really hurt? Because he was busted. Yeah. He was busted up pretty good.
Yeah, he was getting beat up. He was just trying.
I didn't think Nate would tap him. I really didn't because Tony is usually really good with jiu-jitsu and all that. But it's different when you're getting beat up.
Yeah,
and that's the thing. Nate's hell on wheels fourth, fifth round. That's why he always wants to go. And he made a statement too. You know, He's one of those guys that sometimes says genius stuff, but he sounds so stupid when he says it because he's just very like, yeah, whatever, you know what I mean? It's all good. But he was all like, you know, an athlete, like, you know, they're all badass and everything. But then, like, after a while, all that athlete shit goes out the window, and then they got to be in a fight. You know, if it comes to a fight, I'm going to beat his ass.
Yeah.
Like, that's what kind of happens. Gets to that third, fourth round. And that's what happened with Connor. Like, Connor got gassed. I don't know if you watched the full fight between Le'Veon Bell and Adrian Peterson, but really it started to go downhill when Adrian Peterson got gassed. Like, that's what started to happen, and then he was getting hit with stuff he shouldn't have. But what was funny is the very beginning of that fight, Le'Veon Bell has his mouthpiece out, and the ref has to keep telling him to put his mouthpiece back in. And they were like, the reason he's doing that is he's not used to having a mouth guard in his mouth, which means he hasn't sparred for this at all. Like, so, yeah. And he was just doing this, like, and then, like, way, I mean, way a distance. Like, they were, like, they were basically sparring. And then the fifth round, once Adrian got tired, he just threw a shot, knocked him out.
Yeah, this fight also for Nate made me think that if he wouldn't have got that cut stoppage with Masvidal, I think he would have beat Masvidal. Like I, you know what I mean? Like, I really, Nate really does turn it up later on in the fight after he gets.
I would have had to see how Masvidal gets in the later rounds, but just athletically wise, Masvidal was just at such a different level. And that's one thing, too, with, like, the leg kicks, man. The Diaz brothers all get tore up with the leg kicks.
Their whole careers. Yeah.
And they just walk through it, you know?
Like, it was great to see. It was great to see Nate and Nick, though, like, walk out together and, like, taking pictures after the fight and the octagon and stuff.
How much do you think Nick is right now? Like, 215?
Yeah, he looks a little heavy.
He does.
I mean, it's like it's a lot in his face, though, which is kind of... Yeah, just he's getting older.
He could still do a triathlon if he wanted to.
Yeah, I think he can still kick a lot of ass in the UFC, just not like the elite level guys. Like, I think he could still. I mean, obviously Robbie Lawler isn't elite anymore, but like Robbie Lawler is still a legend. Like, I think that Nick would still be competitive against like some people in the UFC right now.
I wouldn't mind if Nick could get out of his UFC contract and fight on a boxing card with Nate. Like, I think that, and it sounds like Nate's gonna have his own promotion. Like, that sounds like a train wreck. No thank you. But like, I wouldn't be even that, like, would it be that crazy if Nate fought Canelo? Like,
no, not really, probably.
I'm just saying, like, if Nate's a free agent, and like, you know, Canelo's going to fight Gaddy Golovkin, but like, that's after true. That, like, I mean, Canelo will kill Nate, but if you want to get paid, then that's a huge money fight.
Yeah.
And like I said, Canelo doesn't have like a ton of people waiting in line for him. So I wouldn't be surprised if he even goes for like a big dog fight, like one of the bigger names.
Yeah, that'd be tight. Or if we can get like Floyd somehow, they do him and Mayweather or something. Like,
I don't want it because Floyd won't fight him at his weight, so Floyd will want an exhibition. And an exhibition's a joke. But like, Canelo will really fight him. Canelo will fight him at his actual weight and everything. So I would be all for that.
True. And then
we got a super chat from Dirty. Thanks, Dirty. I appreciate it, man. Do you think Chimaev should move to 185 permanently? Personally, I think he should. I think he's way too big at 170. I think he's a monster at 170. And then a guy that really looks like he could give a shit losing, not making weight by 8 pounds. I just don't think booking him at 170 is smart, especially when he's like, his next fight would likely be a title shot. You're risking a lot. You can't shuffle the deck anymore if you put him up there. And then let's say he wins, which he should. Then what if he can't make weight after that? So you got a champion who can't make weight. And Israel, if he gets through his fight, like, he has no challenger left. So then you could do Chimaev and Izzy, and Izzy's going to die. But I think it would be I think that would be the best move. And it's funny because they were like, well, 170 is his closest path to the title. Says who? They can go right now and be the champion.
Yeah, if he went to 185 and just like destroyed Paulo Costa in the first round, they give him a title shot, especially if Izzy gets past Pereira and he's already been winning rematches against everyone else that's ranked. Like, there's no one there. And Chimaev, honestly, he should fight at 185. Like, but I really want to see him and Colby. I don't care what weight it happens at, but like, wow. I really want to see that fight. That's my number one fight I want to see for Chimaev, because I think that Colby would have the biggest babyface turn we've ever seen. It'd be so funny to watch, because people would actually get behind the whole USA thing, and people are so against Chimaev for not making weight that, like, I think Colby would be this massive baby, especially if they did in like Florida or Texas or something like that. Like,
do you think that Chimaev has like a language barrier, or do you think that like he literally probably has like bodies in the basement?
Oh, I mean, I don't want to.
He seems way too comfortable about talking about killing people. That's all I'm going to say. And it's not even like I'll kill him. He's like, he said something to like Diaz, bullcrap, come to my country. If you Diaz fan, we chop off your head. Like, whoa, this dude is a little bit, you know, and he does that type of stuff all the time. It's okay. I kill everyone. I smash, I kill it. It's like, I just feel like one day that dude's going to pop up on the news and be like, and mass murderer, his kid Chimaev killed like 10 people. Like, he's wild. That's why I just feel like he's a little bit different of a psycho, that it's like, you can't go, like, if Colby went with a certain level with him, like, I don't know what he would do.
Yeah. That's how people feel about like Khabib and stuff. And that this is pretty fair about I think I overrated Nate a little bit because of the Masvidal thing. That's fair. I mean, Masvidal was beating him up bad in their fight. I just, my point was more that we didn't get a chance to see Nate do what he does in like the later rounds, and it was because of a cut that like really wasn't affecting him. That's really the issue that I have, is that it wasn't in any other state the fight would have continued. I think it was New York for that fight, and they stopped it because of that cut, but most places wouldn't have. So
yeah. The thing too is, though, with Chimaev, is I think he's going to be like a type of like an Anthony Rumble Johnson, to where like you couldn't believe that he made that weight back in the day. Like, yeah. I think he'll move up to 185 and then 205 and then possibly heavyweight. Like, he has that frame that he can only make weight, this type of weight, for a certain amount of time, and then he's going to have trouble making 185. It's like Costa, right? Like, Costa at 185, and then it's like, okay, maybe 205 because you're getting too big. You know what I mean? Like, I just feel like Yoel, same thing. I just feel like it's only going to be a matter of time before he's moving up multiple divisions. And would it be crazy, though, if he could stay in 170, win the 170, then win 185, then win 205? Like, I don't think that's out of the question.
Yeah, but like you said, he has to, like, missing, it's one thing to miss weight, it's another thing to miss by like 7.5 pounds.
Yeah,
like, that's like, and then to kind of make a mockery of it as well, like smiling about it and kind of like not really owning up to the reason why. Yeah, I mean, it sounds like him and his coach decided, it wasn't like a physician or a doctor that made him stop cutting. And on top of that, like, you were 10 pounds over the day of the weigh-ins. Like, if a doctor told you to stop cutting weight, that's still on you for being that over that you need to cut that much weight in the last hour. Well,
there was a girl that said that she saw him that night in Vegas. She took a picture with him, and she was like, he was eating all sorts of crap at like 11 o'clock at night. Like, he didn't give a damn. You know?
That's so funny. So, yeah.
I mean, it's all, and then people think it's a work because it works so well for Nate. But it's like, dude, trust me, the UFC did not want that to happen.
No, Nate and Tony wanted to fight each other for months. Like, they would have fought each other on this card the whole time. But the UFC specifically wanted to make Chimaev's name bigger off of destroying Nate in a UFC pay per view main event. And it turned out to where Nate's not getting out on a W.
And they wanted to make Nate's stock tank. So when he's a free agent, it doesn't hurt them as bad, because it's like the guy that we have right now beat him in 3 minutes. Like, who cares? Nate's old and we moved on, you know? And instead, Dana has to be like, yeah, you look great.
Yeah.
Wish you the best.
Yeah, got another signature submission W while flexing. I mean, just
at 209.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, at 209 on the clock. Yeah.
Yeah.
How like perfect. That,
so Nate Diaz.
And it was cool too that Nate got on the microphone, even with all the history he has with Dana in the UFC.
Yeah.
He was like, I want to go do my thing. I want to prove I'm the best boxer, I'm the best jiu-jitsu player, kickboxing, like judo, whatever. And then I want to come right back here and win a UFC title. So it's like, yeah, you're not trashing the company, you're not burning a bridge, and you're letting your audience know, like, I'm coming back, but like, come with me over here while I'm doing this other thing. And like, I'm coming back. I'm
curious to see what he would look like though, where he doesn't have to worry about leg kicks, where he doesn't have to worry about being taken down, where he literally can just focus on his hands and have cardio and walk people down.
Still like, got a hell of a chin.
It's got a good chin. Like, it'll be interesting to see how he does in boxing.
Yeah. I still, my dream is still Jake Paul versus Nate Diaz on the same card as Nick Diaz versus Logan Paul. Like, that's like, that's my ultimate.
Which honestly, I think that they would do if they could get everybody freed up. Like, if Nate was free, like, if you're the UFC, what's the point of holding on to Nick's rights? Like, if Nate's done and then Nate got destroyed by Robbie Lawler, like we saw Nick literally quit. I've never seen Nick quit like that. Like, Nick quit. Let him go. Let him go. I don't see the point in keeping him. Just, you've made your money off of those kids. They're both legends in the sport. Just let him be and let him make as much money as possible on their way out.
I'm looking up right now to see how many fights does Nick have left where like they have him.
I have no idea. But he ain't a free agent.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I'm with you though. Like, as far as
like, what's the benefit? Like, if he shouldn't fight for you again, it's not gonna work out. Like, it just, there's no point in doing it. So just let him be, and then let him box, because I think he can box definitely, and not when he doesn't have to worry about, you know, all the other stuff around it. He just has to show up and box.
I think he wants at least one more UFC fight, though. Like, I think he wants to show that, like, he's better than what he was against. The performance against Lawler was not good. We watched that together. Like, that was tough to watch. But he looked like a totally different guy. And, like, what's come out after, he's basically said that him and his camp have said, like, he was barely able to train for the fight. He had to take it because
disaster.
People don't realize he's still paying these gigantic fines for, like, failing tests, you know, 10 years ago and stuff like that. So like, he needs the money. So he was like, they basically gave him the ultimatum of like, you either fight Robbie Lawler on this day on this pay-per-view, or you just don't fight at all and you don't get to pay it. And he was like, well, so that's why like they had to change the fight to like a different weight class last minute, because he just like wasn't prepared, but he had to take the fight or else they weren't gonna book him again soon enough for him to get paid, so he could pay off the shit he needed to pay. So, you know, it's kind of on him, obviously, for like being in a position where like he needs the money the way that he did. But at the same time, it's like kind of, he's kind of backed into a corner. And so he showed up for the fight, but he didn't look like he wanted to fight that night. Like, he had a totally different look in his face. Like, his everything about it just was different. And then, like you said, he literally quit. Like, he said, like, he gave up, like, during the fight. And like, we've never seen something like that before. Like, he got the money, he got out of there, he didn't get beat up too bad. But I think he wants at least one. But that's the thing, is like, who do you match him with? Like, you just go all out with like a Conor McGregor fight and just like, screw it, he's probably gonna get knocked out, but at least we drained every penny we can out of him. Or do you give him like a Brian Barberina level guy who's like a tough guy who like beat Robbie Lawler, but it was competitive, or like something like that.
That would honestly be a decent matchup. Like, if Nick's in shape and everything, I wouldn't mind that fight. That would be a good fight for him.
Yeah, something like
that. And if he gets destroyed, then it's like, okay, it's over. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
So, breaking news, Adam Page has posted a thing on Instagram that kind of has me feeling a little iffy here.
On Instagram.
Yeah, so it says, after you get famous, you stop growing. You don't have to. After being an even small part of the movement with the elite and our subsequent falling out, I was afraid of stagnation. I was happy, fulfilled, and getting a good paycheck. but without anyone to push me further. During Brody's illness, I was scared to move forward with these guys, but we all still felt it was the right thing to do. I can never say enough about all of the Dark Order. John jokes effortlessly turn a bad day into a hilarious one. Alex is my dad friend. Our sons were born 5 days apart. It's been so grounding to have someone on the same ride as me. Uno self-deprecates in a way I can't relate to, only wishing he saw himself what I see in him. Ten for working tirelessly and covering for my sorry ass at the latest possible notice. Anna for never hesitating to get in on a good dick joke and to be one of the boys. Stu for never being complacent with his spot and always wanting for more. Five for overcoming having such a small penis and gaining the confidence to bet on himself in a way I never had to. Colt for being a fountain of wisdom and saying to me the most self-affirming words I've ever heard. I owe a lot to my career, to Matt and Kenny. I owe as much to these guys too. Thank you for helping me continue to grow. This seems odd that you would give like a random shout out to the Dark Order and to Kenny, Matt, and Nick.
Yeah, that's sketch. That's not good.
So what does
dude, that... hey, good thing WWE started to heat up again, man. I never doubted them. I know. WWE through and through, sports entertainment fan over here.
And it looks like it was liked by the Bucks.
Oh man, that's probably good. But probably that's probably a good note to end this podcast on. By next week when we talk, we have a lot to talk about in regards to.
No, I'll go off if any of them are gone. I'd be so pissed.
Me too.
But, all right. Well, that was fun.
Well,
you guys have it. Please hit that like button. Thank you for all the people that submitted super chats. And as always, I always appreciate you guys. If you haven't, please subscribe. Please share this video out. And we'll be back next Tuesday for who knows what to talk about. See what this crazy world of wrestling brings us.
Yep. You can follow me on Twitter, FightTalk_FIGHTTALK_. The next time y'all hear me or see me will be on Fightful, the Spotlight, myself and Jeremy Lambert. That's every Thursday morning, 9:30 a.m. Eastern time. So check that out. Well, I'm sure we'll have plenty to talk about on Thursday. And check out the Fightful Select Weekender podcast. It's every Sunday on FightfulSelect.com. Fightful Football Weekly on the Twitch Fightful Gaming channel. And yeah, use code Fight Talk on IWTV.live or independentwrestling.tv. I love you, Hangman Page. I hope you figure out the things between whatever's going on. I don't want to see you leave AEW, but woof. That's scary.
Mm-hmm.
All right, same time, same place. RVDT here for life next week, next Tuesday, 10:10 p.m. Eastern. Make sure to hit the like button, the subscribe button, leave a comment under the video. If you want to leave a tip on my Twitter, you can leave a tip with a question. We'll read it next week. See y'all.
Get well, Deck.
Skull Vikings.
Thank you for tuning in to Live Rounds. Make sure you leave a like, leave a comment, and donate to Steven Jensen. He will read out your donations on the next week's show. Also, don't forget to follow Doug Bateman and Steven Jensen on Twitter. And if you like what you heard tonight, check out more Live Rounds episodes.